For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Bruce Thornton is now sixth all-time on the career points list for the basketball Buckeyes. Thornton had 17 last night to power Ohio State to an 82-62 win at Maryland. OSU's senior captain was one of four Buckeyes in double figures. Ohio State improves to 15-7 with the win. They'll host number 2 Michigan Sunday at 1 o'clock. As for the Ohio State women's squad, the ninth-ranked Buckeyes won at number 24 Washington last night 70-60. Jelani Cambridge led with 26. Ohio State's going to play at Oregon Sunday afternoon. In the NFL, Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was named Defensive Player of the Year. Cleveland linebacker Carson Sueschinger was named Defensive Rookie of the Year at the NFL Honors last night. Mike Vrabel was named Coach of the Year. The Patriots are 4.5-point underdogs to the Seahawks Sunday in Super Bowl 60. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Football Friday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Loaded up. I mean, my goodness, all sorts to get to. Olympics opening ceremonies tonight. Super Bowl 60 on Sunday. Buckeyes with a pretty dominant win last night out at Maryland. Tim May will join at 10:30, 11:30. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN on the Jackets, the NHL, and what he expects next week as the hockey starts up in the Olympic Winter Games. Let's start here. It's good to be back. I really mean that. I was trying to think if the last time that I missed three consecutive days of work for illness, and I told this story with the boys earlier this morning, and it would certainly be in between after my senior year of high school when I worked at an absurd intercontinental truck body, and I was a welder welding parts. My dad thought it would toughen me up. I lasted about a month and a half, and I got mononucleosis. Ended up in the hospital for a couple of days, and was thankfully I've never been more excited to have an illness than that. It put me on the shelf, and I was able to quit that job, which was just absolutely brutal. Big respect to anybody who can do that work. It was a 4 to noon shift, which was just a delight for someone who was going into their freshman year of college. So that was the last time that I recall missing this many days. Quite honestly, guys, I got hit by a truck. I mean, that's the best way I could explain it. I've slept. Timmy Hall was texting me. He's like, do you watch some shows, watch some movies? No, I've slept like 18 hours a day, Tuesday and Wednesday, at least, was just constantly exhausted, and it's been nuts. But on some meds now and feeling better. I'm going to put my mental capacity today around 75, 70%. So as long as the FCC isn't watching too closely, I think we should be fine. Need you boys to carry me a little bit. It's not been fun. I would tell you that this is probably not a coincidence. This is just my theory that this is the worst winter of all time. I mean, truly, I mean, we are in the middle of, I mean, when's the last time that we've had anything warm? And even in the extended, I mean, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. I don't know if the snow is ever going to melt, and we're just kind of stuck in this thing. Meantime, I'm getting pictures from my dad that it's 72 degrees in Montana and there's no snow anywhere. They got drought. I mean, this is nuts where we're at right now. So, the cold ain't helping. I assume that all of my youth teams are just decimated by illness. You guys are okay. You guys have held, you've held strong to this point. God bless you. I don't know how.
Survive in advance. Even before you play games in the NCAA tournament.
Jeez.
Like, it is a daily siege. You went out this morning and you saw snow. If you're on the road right now, snow. So just be careful while you're driving out there. Bo, earlier in the week was Groundhog Day. As I'm sure you're aware, but Punxsutawney Phil's got a 35% hit rate.
Yeah.
So we can, I think, take some solace in that. I learned this from our good buddy Dom Tabari, that Buckeye Lake has Benny the Bass. He predicted a early spring. In Milwaukee, their zoo had a groundhog that died in 2023, and so they're just using other animals. The rhino in Milwaukee is picking early spring, and then Buckeye Chuck, Pride of Marion, Ohio, is picking early spring.
Okay.
So four animals.
Okay.
Right?
They're optimistic?
Yeah.
Okay. AccuWeather, the aardvark, is telling me that it's going to be cold until about April.
The aardvark.
Well, okay. Five animals.
I mean,
I was looking
for a slight warm up next week.
It's 30s.
Maybe hit 40. 40?
Hit 40 once?
We just need all of that snow that hit last week with, what was it, Fern, to melt.
How?
I don't know. But once that happens, maybe. I'm trying to be optimistic here, damn it.
I mean, this has been unbelievable stretch. I just can't recall. I mean, it has to be the worst weather in anyone's memory around here in terms of winter, of just sustained cold.
Mix of massive snow and cold and like the biting wind on a daily basis.
Well, and we did last week, I think the January tied the coldest January on record in Ohio, and it's right up there. So you're correct in that. It has been bitterly cold. I always thought the cold was supposed to kill things off, but I guess not viruses and bacteria.
Yeah, are you quarantined properly?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, I feel like I'm trying. I'm doing my best. Somehow my family hasn't been afflicted much. I mean, they've had some various symptoms of it. I did the COVID test and I was negative for that. But I don't have smell or taste. So that's a hell of a thing to like have a cup of coffee and not taste it and not smell it.
That can be all right in some instances.
Well, that's what I was telling my wife. I'm like, look, just buy me avocados and blueberries, and that's all I'm going to eat. And
Uncle Bo's going to be svelte for sure.
I'm going to get all slicked up, heading to California next Friday. Like, let's get all slicked up for that and be ready to go. So, yeah, we'll brain's a little foggy, but we'll do the best we can. You guys have had a week. My God, have you had a week news-wise?
It's an off-season?
It's been a lot.
Which of the stories, which of the things that transpired in the days that I was off, did you find most interesting?
Well, personally, the Cleveland Cavaliers have James Harden on their roster.
Now, you believe that?
I don't know when he's going to play a game for them, but he's a Cavalier. So if you'd have told me that at the beginning of the season, I'd be like, what went wrong? What went horribly wrong? And maybe Darius Garland not being healthy or not being reliable when you need him because of his health issues is the thing that's gone horribly wrong. But I saw yesterday at the Sherwin-Williams building in downtown Cleveland, they were taking down the core four banner. And it's like, wow, the end of an era or maybe the beginning of an error.
Well, it's well put. That was Bootsy's first tears and eyes trade.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first one of those for you? Like it was his first one. I was out of it. So I saw that it happened and I was trying to follow the best I could. And I saw him as he was getting ready for school. I think it was maybe Wednesday morning. Maybe the trade happened Tuesday. It was Wednesday morning. And he came down and he had his eyes were like welled up and he had on a Mobley jersey. And I said, it was an older one. And I said, hey, buddy, what's wrong? And he goes like, I don't have any Cavs jerseys anymore. And I said, why? He goes, all my Cavs jerseys are Garland. He was my favorite player, Dad. And I went, God, that sucks. And you forget about that. You know, there's still the attachment that kids have to players. We have, adults have to players. And I loved watching Darius Garland play. And I still think there's a world where him healthy, one of my favorite Cavs runs was when they had him, Markkanen, Mobley, Allen, and they had the bigs and him, and he kind of orchestrated it and they kind of came out of nowhere. I understand you get a chance to get Donovan Mitchell and that's been an incredible trade. And Garland hasn't been healthy, but when he was healthy and when he was on his ascent, he was such a fun player to watch. And the team was probably flawed from the standpoint of you can't play with two little guards in the postseason. And so there was probably a reason for that. But the idea that is dwindled to the point where the best you can do is get a one-for-one for a 36-year-old ball-dominant guy who's kind of a 1 or 2 year window here where I guess this is as all in as you can be. Like, they felt like they couldn't go any further with Garland, weren't getting assurances from Mitchell that he was going to sign an extension. And so this is what you do. But it feels a little bit like when they traded Kyrie to me and ended up with Isaiah Thomas and kind of that poo-poo platter of stuff. And it was like, and I'm not like Harden's better than Isaiah Thomas, but at the same time, like, there's a shelf life on it for sure. What's How about you, Bick?
There were so many, Bo. There's so many things. Obviously, the Blue Jackets and this run here. And the crazy thing is, Rick Bowness said it the other night, they've gotten 22 out of their last 24 points, and they're still not in the playoff spot.
No, it's
That's how crazy the East is. My Reds got a bat as we head to spring training. That was huge. The Montana coach says, hey, I don't enjoy this anymore.
Yeah.
This isn't fun.
Yeah, Bobby Houck just calling it quits.
Says, hey, I'm out of here. But I thought the most interesting story to me, we did a story the other day about NBC and how on Sunday night, which is historically the most watched night of television, on television, they have 49 of the next 51 weeks on Sunday nights, they have live sports. And it's probably going to be 51 of 51 because Caitlin Clark, who now works for NBC, plays on both of those days where they don't have games. One is the Sunday of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Okay.
And the other one, I think, is like a Little League World Series week or something. I don't know. But Caitlin Clark has games on both those Sundays, so it'll probably be 51 of 51 Sundays in a row, live sports for NBC.
Meantime, the Washington Post said we don't need a sports department.
Wow.
The Super Bowl week, too.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest sports writers and a couple TV personalities of all time.
I used to, in college, I would go to Borders, and I would buy the Washington Post to read the sports section. It'd be 30 pages, and I would read it front to back. Kornheiser, Wilbon, Boswell, like all those guys. I mean, just the best. Culpepper, all those guys. And they just, the idea that they're not going to do sports anymore, it's something that has been so strange in our business. Like, live sports and water cooler shows are the, or movies are like the last entertainment that you can't miss. Everything else, you kind of go in your silo. But those things cross over sociopolitical, any of it. Those things, it doesn't matter. Like, if when Game of Thrones hits, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. When a sports moment happens, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. You're all on the same thing, and it's something that brings us all together. And the idea that they'd be like, yeah, we don't need that anymore. Just absolutely stupefying. The Blue Jackets, it's just so suck that this break is happening now. And it's just like, I hope you can keep it going and you're optimistic about it, but they've had so much bad puck luck as a franchise that they're just going to have to get through it because you just would want to keep playing. You just want to keep playing. And so that's been fun to watch how they've played. It's lights out stuff, and hopefully it continues. But now what, a 3-week break before we see them again? Was it February 26th?
Yep. February 26th in Boston.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say, I thought Monken crushed his introductory press conference. I watched that in a fog. Was that Tuesday, I think, at noon? I thought he crushed it, and I thought he showed it. It made me very happy because I knew him in 2019, and he was the exact same unvarnished direct self there as he was. And I thought the line he said about Schwartz was interesting, where he just said, look, we didn't chip Jim Schwartz. We chipped Miles Garrett. And I thought that's the type of attitude that I think you need in that. I'd be curious what the resolution is on that, but I thought he had a very good opening press conference in Cleveland too. Now you got to go win. So, very busy sports week, obviously, and a lots to get to today on the program. It is spectacular to be back. We are off and running on a Friday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Video listener. Are you having a stressful day? Do you want to unwind before you go home to your annoying family? Good news. You can spend time with our annoying family, Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
It's a new year.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Snow is likely in the early afternoon, becoming a little bit more scattered throughout the day. Temperatures right around the freezing mark and breezy winds will be possible. Could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches as we go into tonight. The gusty winds will bring our feels like down below zero, so it will be a very frigid Saturday. Feels like we'll still be below zero throughout the day with gusty winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
When you start playing the bracketology game for the Ohio State men's basketball team and you start doing the schedule game and say win-loss, where's it going to happen? Last night had to be a win. Just had to be. I mean, Maryland's terrible. They were 1-9 in the Big Ten coming in, and a complete non-factor. I have some thoughts on that just in a second. But so this is one you had to come out, you had to act accordingly, handle your business, get a win, and then have your eyes set on Michigan on Sunday, which is going to be awesome. That's here. It's Sunday at 1, Fan pregame at noon. That's the type of win they need so, so desperately. You need a resume booster like that. You are a firmly bubble team as it stands right now. Bubble in, bubble out depends on truly every game. You win one, you bubble in, you lose one, you bubble out. That's kind of where they're at this point. So at 15-7 and 7-5 in the league, they had to get it last night, and they did at Maryland. In the win, Bruce Thornton and Junie Mobley continued their hot stretch of play. They've really done a great job here over the last month or so. Bruce Thornton now sixth all-time in Buckeye scoring? 19-13? Does he have a puncher's chance here?
So they have 10 games guaranteed left, Bo.
Yeah.
9 in the regular season and 1 in the Big Ten tournament. So he would need to average 18.3 a game to get there. He's a
hop.
Yeah, he's, what is this? It's a 1,083 behind Dennis Hobson.
Wow.
If you needed more incentive to play meaningful games in March?
It's 183, excuse me, not 1,000.
183, yeah. 18.3 a game over those 10. Well, I mean, he's going to be right there. I mean, if you get tournament games, he's definitely going to get it. How do you feel about that?
Can I answer in April? I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like,
it's a good response.
Yes, yeah. He's. I mean, 4 years as a captain, you want the most for him to play in the NCAA tournament, and if he doesn't, you'll be looking back on this as, you know, one of the biggest what ifs and the career that you wish he'd had better in everything.
So, Bo, Dennis Hobson is the first Buckeye player that I loved and remember.
Sure.
Were those times like his I believe junior and senior year were the first times I really remember Ohio State basketball. And then it transitioned right into Jay Burson and then into the Jimmy Jackson era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because some of these guys on this list, Herb Williams, Jerry Lucas, like they're all timers. And
yeah.
Bruce is going to go down as an all timer here, but it's an all timer that may have never played for anything. And it's so weird.
It is a weird one. I think he needs the postseason. I think he needs the postseason this year because you know, so much of it is accumulating. He's been such an incredible Buckeye. Like, I don't want this to come off as a slight because it's not on him. He's certainly done everything that you'd ever expect of him and all of it and is going to be historically remembered forever. But like the guys on this list are guys whose numbers are in the rafters for the most part. I mean, Hops should be. And it's one of those things where it's an odd one. And like William Buford was an accumulator, but he was also on some of the best teams in the country. At that time, I mean, he's on Final Four teams. He was on, you know, those type of teams, number one overall seed teams. So there was that part of it with him. He's sitting there third tied with Lucas, which is crazy that he ended up exactly the same number as Lucas on this list.
And I think it's weird because of all of these guys, they're all guys that played 4 years. Mm-hmm. And back when Dennis Hobson and Jerry Lucas and Herb Williams and those guys played, you did play 4 years. It was just the norm. Now you don't. If you're a really good player, you're not staying and playing 4 years. Now, maybe that's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, because they're making so much money in college now. Maybe that'll change, and maybe staying 4 years will be the norm. But I don't think the Evan Turners of the world, the D'Angelo Russells of the world, the Mike Conleys and Greg Odens of the world, I don't think they're ever going to stay 4 years. So it's so hard to judge this all-time scoring list now, because Bruce has been a great player for Ohio State, a really good player, but I don't think anybody's ever going to confuse him with Jimmy Jackson or Evan Turner or some of those guys we just named.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that's interesting, Jerry Lucas maybe only got three. That might have been the era where you didn't get your freshman year.
That could be.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry only played three, because that was... Yeah, that's the 60s. Remember that you weren't eligible as freshman, I don't think, in that time. Usually it was a 3-year deal there. So, but either way, it's been spectacular, and he needs that. He needs that cherry on top to get into the NCAA tournament. And I do think that this team gets in because of the two guards. I think that they can be a very difficult matchup. I don't think that there's no delusions of grandeur here. I don't think this is a team that can make a run to the Sweet 16 or something like that. Anything can happen in hoops, but there are some finite things that they struggle with that will make it difficult. On the other side of it, did you guys see, and if you watched the game, I know that you did you see the stands at Maryland last night?
Oh, you saw all of the stands. Like, you saw so many seats.
Yes, you did.
The lot.
Well played, yeah. I mean, this was a basketball haven, Maryland. Haven. And now they're 8-14. They're 1-10 in the league. And they're playing Ohio State on a Thursday night at 8:30. And I know the weather's bad everywhere, but it looked like there were about 4,000 people in that arena. That's a big venue. It's a big, big venue, and it looked like there were about, certainly less than 10, four may be a little too low, but certainly less than 10,000 people there, and just walls of empty seats. There's just not a single example that anybody can give me that outside of the financial impact of the Big Ten paying those institutions, and certainly Rutgers didn't even take advantage of that, as they're hundreds of millions of dollars in the red still. Rutgers and Maryland to the Big Ten is one of the most cataclysmic decisions that a league's ever made. I mean, truly, it's the worst expansion decisions ever, for a million different reasons. But primarily, look at what it's done to themselves. I mean, this isn't a fit for Maryland. They don't want to be playing Ohio State. They want to be playing Duke and Carolina and NC State and all of those. And greed got in the way, and cable buy and all this nonsense. And they've just completely neutered the passion of a fan base. Neutered it. And I'm sure the losing contributes. Sure, that's part of it.
Yeah, they're not a good team this year.
No, they're not. They're not. But that is, I mean, Maryland basketball, trying to think of the football equivalent in the Big Ten. Is it Michigan State? Like Michigan State football? It's not Michigan or Ohio State, because that's like Carolina, Duke. It's not there. But it's a next below, I would
maybe
say.
Maybe you, not.
Because they weren't
Penn
ever
State?
As,
yeah.
Maybe Penn State.
I think it's better than Michigan State.
Because it's not quite USC.
No.
Right? Because they never dominated a sport like the Trojans did in the early 2000s. But Maryland, I mean, the Big Ten says this a lot. They're the last team in the conference to win a national championship.
Right.
Juan Dixon.
I kept looking at the TV last night. I go, what happened to Maryland?
Speaking Buzz of, Williams is there now.
He brought like one of his better players with him from Texas A&M, but... They might not win 10 games.
Speaking of the game last night and how it looked on TV, and you guys know I'm the first one to argue for color on color. I didn't like that last night. The black and the red, it just didn't look great. Yeah, it's too close. That last night, well, I guess maybe it's when you got two teams that are red. So Maryland has black, but there's going to be red on it as well. Maybe pass on the color on color. I usually love that, the idea of it. But last night, it didn't look good on the TV to me.
I thought the Maryland black on black, it was hard to see the numbers too. Like the way that their numbers are done, it was difficult.
Yeah.
But hey, the headliner here is you get a win and you get a Sunday here where you got a chance. You got a resume chance and they need it. They need one of these type of wins to kind of cement the way the committee is going to think about them a month from now when we're talking about Selection Sunday and hopefully this team gets in. I did want to mention this. The Buckeye women improved to 10-2 in Big Ten play. The Roland 70-60 win against Washington last night. Jelani Cambridge with 26. It's time for that team to make a run to a Final Four too. So that'll be a fun operation to watch as they make a run into March here and over the last month of the season. Coming up in 2 minutes, the NFL hands out their awards. The Cleveland Browns had themselves a night, and the Hall of Fame class is announced. What they got right, what they got wrong, we'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Here's what's up on a Football Friday. NFL honors last night. I'll be candid with you. I didn't watch a second of it. I just didn't. Did you guys watch any of this?
Nope. I get it on Twitter.
That's
and that's what social media provides you. Who's the coach of the era? Are you going to give me the Mike Vrabel news when it happens and as soon as it happens?
Yeah, I'm the same. I wasn't interested in the pomp and circumstance of it. I think there's several things that were noteworthy, and obviously here locally, there's a lot of interest in this. Jackson Smith and Jigba winning Offensive Player of the Year. Pretty sizable award to track in there. I do like how that award is kind of morphed into best offensive player who isn't a quarterback. I think that's really cool that they found a way to honor guys because the MVP is always going to go to quarterback. It's so rare that it doesn't. So I thought it was very cool that that award has morphed into that. Has a Buckeye ever won that?
I do not believe so, because I believe when he was up for the award, they said that would have been the first Buckeye to do so.
Okay. Yeah. Certainly deserving. You could make an argument that I know he wasn't a finalist for the MVP, but you could have made an argument that perhaps he should have been as the only downfield threat for the best team in football. So I thought that was very cool. The Browns cleaned up. Myles Garrett joining a very, very short list of all-time greats who have won Defensive Player of the Year twice, cementing, obviously, what is already a gold jacket career for him. He did it unanimously, so a unanimous Defensive Player of the Year award for Myles. Defensive Rookie of the Year. This one really pleased me. Carson Schlesinger winning this award. He was sensational all year for the Cleveland Browns, and I was fearful that perhaps he wouldn't get for some reason, just because sometimes it feels like the Browns can't have nice things. I was hopeful that he would get the recognition that he deserved, and he did. Other winners, Panthers wide receiver Tetaroa McMillan winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, well deserved there. Former Buckeye Mike Vrabel winning Coach of the Year. Is he the first former Buckeye to win NFL Coach of the Year?
I will look that up here in a second, because we were wrong on Offensive Player of the Year. Michael Thomas won it in 2019. So we did miss that one. So I'll look up the Vrabes one now.
That's crazy with Mike, huh? Like the start to that career and then just injuries, and it just never, because he was on an all-time tear.
Does Paul Brown count?
Sure he does.
1970.
Let's go. Of course he does. Yeah, we'll take it. Absolutely.
The Michael Thomas one is so crazy because I don't know if anybody would have seen that coming out of college. Because his stats in college really weren't that great or crazy.
No, but it's one of those examples of the right player at the right place at the right time. Saints with Breeze. Breeze was still at the peak of his powers. Mike was an incredibly precise route runner. He was exactly where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there. And Breeze loved him. And and that's how that happened. The headliner was your MVP. Matthew Stafford does that while accepting that award, which really cements him as a gold jacket now. There was some discussion if he was really deserving of that or not, or if he was kind of on the cusp. No longer. You win an MVP and a Super Bowl champion, and obviously that's going to be it. He also had a little bit of an announcement. Let's hear that.
I am so happy to have you at the games on the sideline with me, and I can't wait for you to cheer me on next year when we're out there kicking ass. And so I'll see you guys next year. Hopefully I'm not at this event, and we're getting ready for another game in SoFi. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
So the Super Bowl's at SoFi next year.
How about that?
Yep. Are the Browns getting one when they open the Brook Park location?
You would think, right? I mean, I don't have any insight, but I would assume that you build a, you know, $3 billion indoor stadium that you're going to get rewarded. They've given them to Detroit and others. I'm assuming you're going to get one. For the Browns, obviously, Miles winning Defensive Player of the Year. Let's hear from 95.
No, this doesn't just start with me. It starts with great teammates, great organization, great coaches, being able to put us in position. And I'm thankful for every single one of my teammates to help get me up here. It's not possible without them. Their blood, their sweat, their tears, everything that we went through. I'm appreciative of that, fellas. Will, Micah, we went through, during the offseason. I'm so grateful for y'all. Y'all have been on my heels for the last, I don't know how many years. So I'm grateful for every second we spent together. And finally, the greatest team I could ask for, Buck, John, Jay, Nicole, Shay. Y'all have really, taken care of me. Y'all supported me. Y'all have kept me up when I've been down. Y'all really, been timeless. With all the effort y'all put in, and just like a great watch, a great team is timeless. So I'm very appreciative of y'all. And finally, my parents, AG, LG. I couldn't do it without y'all. Y'all are the very best in the world. God, the God have the glory. He's willed it, and at the end of the day, it was written.
You know what's cool about I've been around him a lot, obviously, since 2019, and very goal-oriented guy, and like he put Defensive Player of the Year that was something he chased relentlessly, and I think to do it and have the year that he did, despite the struggles of the team, and to just continue to lift yourself is a remarkable thing, and obviously, the new contract last year, the offseason, all of it, but really. Cool to see somebody reach their full potential as a football player. And just think if he weren't great, because people don't talk about who could have been picked in that draft only because of how great he is.
And he was great almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude was an action figure coming out of Texas A&M, and he's only delivered every single season that he's been fully healthy. It's insane to think like he's Defensive Player of the Year. Schwesinger is Defensive Rookie of the Year, and also probably on a short list for Defensive Player of the Year, just the way he was able to play, the way that defense played. You had a Pro Bowl quarterback in Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking as we're going through this. Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Not one, but two Pro Bowl quarterbacks, because you had Flacco and you got rid of him. I mean, Stefanski, you bum. No wonder you're gone.
Did you see the still shot of like Burrow? They were like introducing the quarterbacks, and it went like Burrow, Flacco, Shedeur, and like I would put Burrow's disinterest at like about 160 million disinterest in being there.
How about that? The Bengals and the Browns, both two Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
Good Lord.
I would have thought Burrow would be the guy that would not appear at these sorts of things.
I couldn't believe he showed up, Reese.
Yeah.
They can't keep doing that, can they? I mean, what is the point of that thing?
Bo, were you, I don't believe you were here after that happened, but could you imagine, Jamar Chase makes that interception and returns it and then does the flip into the end zone. Could you imagine if he blows out his knee on that?
No.
And the craziness that we would be talking about afterwards?
No. And what are we doing? Like if you don't want to play the game anymore, then it's okay to just punt on it. Like, I know the NFL, where did it air? Was it on NBC?
It was on ESPN.
Or ESPN aired it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I had no interest in it. I have no idea what the ratings did on it. I'm sure some people watched just because it's football and people will watch.
Is that one of those things, where if the players were truly disinterested, they'd have to collectively bargain something like that away? And right now they're staring at the face of an 18-game regular season.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I saw like the pushback, like there's no interest in an 18-game season for them. Well, no kidding, there's no pushback in it. Or that there is pushback in it. I think it'll be fascinating to see how it goes. I think the one thing that's kind of shameful with it is I love Joe Flacco. I really like Shedeur Sanders. Obviously, those aren't Pro Bowl players. And so, but because of the way that it works, they're going to have that forever on their resume. And it's like, there's something wrong there. Because when you historically go look at like Pro Football Reference and you have like, these are the Pro Bowlers that you should be able to look back historically and go, these are the best three quarterbacks in the AFC in 2026 or 2025, I guess. Like if you go back from like 2005, AFC Pro Bowl starters or the AFC Pro Bowlers were Manning, Brady, and was it Rivers or Roethlisberger? Somebody like that?
Probably both in or either or.
Yeah.
Pick of the year.
And it's like, okay, well, this is a different. We're doing something else here now, right? Because nobody wants to participate in this thing anymore. So, and I'm glad that they went. Like, I'm glad Shedeur had such a good attitude about it. He had the time of his life. It's cool that Joe's there. But, like, this is not what I think it was probably intended to be in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, that left a lot to be desired. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026 was awarded. It's a legendary class. Breeze and Larry go in on the first ballot of eligibility. Adam Vinatieri gets in. It's good to see the special teams mentioned again. I have no idea why Luke Kuechly was not a first ballot. And I hate that the Hoff has this situation where you can only allow so many because Kuechly should have been. He should have been in first time through. Probably Vinatieri as well. And so then they have the stigma of you weren't a first ballot, which I think sucks for them. Roger Craig gets in as a senior finalist. Roger Craig is probably one of the most underappreciated. He was really ahead of his time. He was 1,000 in the 80s, 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving in the 80s. And no one was doing that at that time. He was the ultimate weapon. He was ahead of his time for sure. And so I'm very pleased that he got in. Eli Manning did not make the Hall of Fame. And of course, no Belichick, no Kraft. We knew that though.
Roger Craig, I think, don't you think he gets overshadowed because of Montana Rice and Taylor and Clark and all those guys?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah, I do. And I think his great was pretty elite. And I do think he's a gold jacket. And I think that's what happens, though. I saw this, Chris Russo had this great rant about it with Kevin Clark of ESPN, where he read a something from Peter King, and they were talking about former Bengals quarterback. Why am I blanking? Who was
Kenny Anderson?
Kenny Anderson. And he said Kenny Anderson was a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist for 15. I'm sorry, he was on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot for 15 years, from 1992 to 2006. 15 years he was available to get into the Hall of Fame. In the 15 years that he was eligible for the Hall of Fame, only twice did he make it into the 15 finalists. So what makes you think that now he's a Hall of Famer after 15 years he wasn't? And I thought that was such a great point. And that's my issue with the senior thing is like either you are or you're not, Bake. I think you said this a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing that should change in time that makes us look back more fondly on it. Like you had a window, you had a long window to get in. The people who watched you, who covered you, who played with you, who coached you, they didn't believe you were then. Why are you now? What changed? Other than our, you know, nostalgia is a warming thing and we look back on it fondly. But that shouldn't change the way that you're viewed.
I agree with you on that. Like I said, and I know it's probably not this simple, but if I just think, boom, Hall of Fame or not,
yeah,
and it should be that easy because it's not, I think it should be hard to get in the Hall of Fame and it should be the best of the best. You say that though, but Ken Anderson has some of the strongest supporters out there. I was actually just reading something from Mike Petragula that he posted this morning about Ken Anderson and how Bill Walsh picked Ken Anderson as his quarterback before he even knew who Joe Montana was. And it's very interesting because Ken Anderson has some of the strongest and loudest supporters out there.
Yeah, but everybody does. I'm sure LC Greenwood does, and I'm sure Roger Craig does, but not everybody can get in. It's the Hall of Fame. not the Hall of Very Good. And that's, unfortunately, some people are going to get left out of that. We're going to have some fun on the Super Bowl props. We'll do that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. The hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Listening to T-Bone and Tyvus, all the F words apply. Football, food, and fun, and fat, and furry. They both have beards. And they dress up like animals and hump things. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
Why does it
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
I don't know if it feels like it or not, but it is true. The Super Bowl is Sunday. I mean, you guys have been in it all week, but there's been a lot of news this week. Does it feel like Super Bowl Sunday is 2 days away?
It does not.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I said this earlier in the week, and I don't know why, because there's a lot of Buckeye involvement in this Super Bowl, but it just, I feel like we haven't heard much about it, and maybe I'm just not searching it out, but.
I think that, you know, we're not chasing any greatness here, maybe. It just feels like a little bit anonymous. It feels like the Patriots are here a year or two early. And I just think the Darnold thing is out there too, a little bit. And it's like there's a little bit of doubt that maybe they're as good as they seem to be. So there's part of it. We can still have some fun with some props. Reese, you want to administer?
I sure can. Do we
Let's
want
do
to
it.
Start with
Let's have
I guess,
a little fun.
What's going to start the NFL Super Bowl festivities? And that's Green Day.
Oh, baby.
For whatever it's worth, the band famous for Dookie will be performing the pre-show, which I don't know. Is that going to be on? I mean, the thing's on NBC.
It'll be, I'm sure, yeah.
The game's supposed to start at 6:30. We'll have it on The Fan after Ohio State men's basketball, but I don't know where you're going to be able to find Green Day.
Yeah, that's probably an hour to kick, I would think, right?
Yeah, but is it on the field? Is it in a stadium stage set up outside the stadium?
Probably
like a fan fest.
The Super Bowls I've been at, they do like, I do remember like Paul McCartney doing like a pre Super Bowl game thing at the one in New Orleans. I remember that. Yeah, I would say this would probably be like 25-30 minutes to kick, something like that.
So you can place, I'll use Rothman's soft earned dollars phrasing on the first song that they play in that pregame. The best odds are American Idiot at plus 100, Basket Case, Know Your Enemy, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, When I Come Around, 21 Guns, Holiday, Minority.
I'm going to go When I Come Around at plus 600.
Bo, I can tell that you and I are the same age just by your answer there, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't think you could go wrong coming out with American Idiot, because just boom, you're right into it.
Yeah.
I mean, just banger right away.
Yeah.
But I feel like When I Come Around is the song that put Green Day on the map.
I would agree.
Like, that was the one that made them famous. So I was thinking, why not kick it off with that?
Yeah. I like that at plus 600.
Am I looking correctly? Like, three, four of these songs are from the album American Idiot? 21 Guns, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Know Your Enemy might have been on a different album. But yeah, I mean, I'm a Basket Case fan, so that I'd be okay with hearing, but just kind of the opening chord for When I Come Around would be great if they were doing this in like 2005.
It's a 30-year-old.
It's an older
act. Did you take a shot?
I had.
I think Reese
I had
taking
those
shots.
Albums.
I think he is.
Like, I own them on CD. I listen to them all the time.
Poor guy's not even healthy all the way. He's still playing this today and he's day. Taking shots at it.
Hanging on by a thread, and now all of a sudden I'm old too.
An older act.
Yes, Reese, I did get it in one of those Columbia Records CD things.
Oh my gosh. BMG?
Yeah. I did do it.
Reese is like, huh? What's
10
that?
10 CDs for a 99 cents, and then every CD after that, $67.50.
Got you on the hook for years.
Years.
I think I got Nimrod at CD Buybacks over on Bethel Road. No, Sawmill Road was where I picked up Nimrod.
Gosh, if you'd have said Coconuts Music, I'd have been, let's go.
All right, friend of the program, Chris, says that Google is telling him 6 o'clock on NBC for Green Day.
So I had it. There you go.
All right. Next up, will Terry McAuley disagree with a call on review?
No.
This is the easiest bet. This is the easiest ever, right?
No.
They always disagree and they're always wrong.
Yeah. No, these guys have become useless.
This is tinfoil hat thinking, but are they just disagreeing because it creates content in the moment?
Oh, I don't think they ever disagree. I think they always agree that the referees on the field get it right.
I guess I mean, like, are they... They're going with...
They disagree with the
officials,
review.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always agree that the referees got it right.
I guess also to not go against their probably friends. They're
actually,
all friends with each other.
The semantics on this is tough because they always agree with the resolution of the call, whether it's on the field or by review. So I guess the semantics on this is tough. They don't ever disagree with the review answer.
Charlie Puth's doing the Star Spangled Banner.
Who is he?
Musician.
Thanks. Rock? Country?
No, I think
throw me a bone.
I think he's like a contemporary top hits type guy.
Top 40?
Yeah.
Over under on a minute
never
20
seen this kid before
a minute
in my
20,
life.
Or 120 seconds for the over under.
I've never heard of him. I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I think under's the safe one.
2 minutes is tough. You got to really stretch it out to get over 2 minutes.
Chris Stapleton was unbelievable, and Lady Gaga was unbelievable. Whitney Houston for the old heads.
FanDuel's got one that asks, who will the MVP thank in his first speech? The Lord or a religious figure is your best bet. Teammates, then family, fans, team organization, and then the coach, plus $2,500.
You'd be silly to bet anything other than God.
First the Lord.
Always.
Especially since one of those former Buckeyes, JSN or Travion's going to be the MVP. So you know they're going God.
Yep.
We've also got a bet whether Cardi B and Stephon Diggs will, or I guess the bet is, will Stephon Diggs propose to Cardi B after the game? Jeez. And really what it hedges on is if the Patriots win, does that happen? Your odds are better no.
Yeah, no. Zero chance. Zero chance.
Will a player or a coach cry during the national anthem?
Yes.
And those are your best odds? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get somebody with tears.
And then the halftime show special guest. So Bad Bunny's going to be doing the program, but Cardi B's the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
She'll obviously be there watching her man play. J Balvin and Jennifer Lopez also have decent odds to be part of that.
Man, I don't know who the hell a J Balvin is. I mean,
never heard of him.
I'll roll with J-Lo.
Especially if she brings Shakira with her. Oh, boy.
Come on.
Oh, baby.
That was a lot to take in.
God bless
him. It's a lot of Latin flavor, but I'd be okay with it.
You got one with Portnoy being removed. Did you guys see him run?
That's
I saw
not
him
real.
Try to run.
That's not real. It can't be.
Joshua Perry had some thoughts about it during a break, and while I'll let him share those when he's back on Common Man and Timmy tomorrow. I think so, too, Bake.
You think it was fake?
I think he just was joking. I think he was goofing around.
Common Man and Timmy later today.
Oh, is that today? Oh, today is Friday. Yeah,
today is Friday.
What are days?
Right. Speaking of the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel trying to track down a Super Bowl win as a head coach to match his Super Bowl wins as a player. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
I wish I'd gotten treated.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler.
They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bunny Britton, I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Super Bowl 60 is Sunday at 6:30. The Seahawks are 4.5-point favorites over the Patriots. New England's Mike Vrabel was named NFL Coach of the Year after only one season there. Drake May lost out on the MVP to Matt Stafford by one first-place vote. The 37-year-old Stafford will turn 38 this weekend and says he'll return to the next season for the Rams. We'll have Super Bowl on the Fan Sunday with coverage following Ohio State men's basketball. The Buckeyes host number 2 Michigan Sunday at 1. Ohio State won at Maryland last night 82-62. Four Buckeyes scored in double figures, including Bruce Thornton, who climbed to sixth on OSU's all-time scoring list. A similar successful night on the road for the ninth-ranked Ohio State women's squad. Buckeyes won at Washington 70-60. Ohio State will play at Oregon Sunday at 3 o'clock. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal. Get one free on the app. Terms apply.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Friday edition of the program, Bo and the Boys with you. Tim May coming up in 27 minutes from now. The Super Bowl is Sunday, as we were lamenting in the previous segment. It doesn't necessarily feel like it. What is your favorite Super Bowl memory?
I mean, honestly, the last time these two teams played... Mm-hmm. And Malcolm Butler picked off Russell Wilson in the end zone. Like, that's a pretty great moment in sport.
It is, yeah. Patriots have been in a lot of them that had those moments. I mean, just in the last, in your lifetime, Reese, I mean, they've littered it. The David Tyree catch, both sides, Philly, down 28-3. The Vinatieri kick in the 2000, it was January of 2002. They've had a lot of them.
They must be stopped. Someone must stop them.
I think my favorite Super Bowl memory happened when I was really young and the Giants just wore out Elway and the Broncos after what happened in the AFC Championship game with Cleveland. I never wanted a team to get destroyed more than Elway and the Broncos.
Is that Otis Anderson?
Yeah, I believe it was.
With the oversized thigh pads, remember those?
Yeah.
And they just couldn't tackle him?
Who was the other Anderson that they had as a running back? Didn't they have two? They had Anderson and then they were like back to back.
I can't recall. Did Gary play for them?
Maybe.
At some point.
Might have been him.
I remember Otis Anderson. I want to say he won. Phil Simms was the quarterback of that one. And then they won the other one with Hostetler, right?
Yeah.
Against the Bills was Hostetler. 85 Bears for me. That was my first Super Bowl memory was, as a very little kid, was the Marcus Allen run against the Redskins. And then I remember the 84 Super Bowl pretty well with the 49ers and Dolphins and Montana just seeming like he was dropped from the heavens to play quarterback. I don't know why I didn't like the 49ers. But I guess it was the Super Bowl shuffle. The Super Bowl shuffle hooked me on the Bears. And so that's what got it in. And I remember that was the first Super Bowl party. We didn't go to a lot of those as a kid, but we went to a Super Bowl party and the entire house was rooting for the Patriots except for me and my mom. And I had one uncle who sat in a different room. So the whole party was in one room and I was in an upstairs with my mom and my uncle watching, the Bears beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and having to listen to that. That one was pretty sweet. I've been to four of them, covered four of them. And maybe five. It's a fog. It's hard to remember. But certainly the one that I have the most personal affection for was my first, which was the Patriots against the Rams. And the Rams were massive favorites in that game. Patriots had this quarterback named Tom Brady that nobody thought they were 14-point dogs in the game and they just kept going. And it was in the Superdome, first Super Bowl after 9/11. Tomahawk helicopters circling the place. There was so much fear that there would be terrorism. The security was like two blocks. It was underground, and you just kept going through one thing after another. They built like a whole thing underground where you just go through these various security loops to get there. And then the press box was just in the stands in the Superdome. And I was, God, 23 or whatever I was at the time. And I remember, all of us were together. So I was in the stands with the media, and Mike Wilbon was in the same stands, and Tony Kornheiser was there, and Bob Ryan, and all of these legendary like media types. And they would give you, when you go to a Super Bowl to cover it, they give you the radio so you can hear the television call of the game as you're watching it. So I'm pretty sure it was, in memory serves, it was Madden Summerall on the call of that Super Bowl. And I remember listening to that in my ear as the Rams had tied the game. And I'm pretty sure it was John Madden, who's the best of all time, was saying, you know, you got to play for overtime here. And then the Patriots didn't play for overtime. And Brady went, and all of a sudden Vinatieri kicked it. And I've told this story before, but it's one of the funniest things. I'll never forget it. If you've ever been to the Superdome, and if you're way up top in the Superdome, it is basically like just a circular ramp to get down to the bottom of it. There's no elevators at that time. And so you just had to walk. And so you're just walking down the spiraling ramp all the way to the bottom. And the guy that I was walking with trying to get to the field to do interviews, the guy who was right next to me was Bob Ryan. And Bob Ryan, legendary columnist for the Boston Globe. And he just kept saying the same thing over and over again. And he just kept saying, and I'm going to, again, bring 70% fog, so I have the dump button ready here, Bake. Those mother effers, they effing won. And he just kept saying that over and over and over again. He never said anything else. He just kept repeating that over and over and over again all the way down to the field, because it was so improbable that the New England Patriots could do it. There just was no chance that they could do it. But then it was so appropriate because it was coming after 9/11, and we were never closer as a country probably than then, other than maybe World War II. And so it was one of those things that was I'll never forget. It's ingrained in my head forever. And there's so many of those that happen in the Super Bowl. And hopefully this year's game provides some of that. And obviously, go ahead, Bick.
I was just going to say, Bo, sorry, just a corrections department. Otis Anderson was that later one in 90. Joe Morris was the running back in that one in 86. So Anderson was with the one they won with Hostetler, where they beat him 55-10. The 39-21 after the Browns, that was Phil Simms and Joe Morris and Mark Bavaro and those guys.
Okay, I put those two teams together then. We'll see if we get a great game this weekend. Mike Vrabel, obviously, an Ohioan, a Buckeye, and turn this team around in no time. Here is Vrabes on how he did it.
Well, I think getting the right people in the building, I think we were intentional about trying to make sure that when the players returned, there was a program in place that they could look at, that they could believe in, that they wanted to be a part of, and that they wanted to protect. That's what we set out to do much before the players were even into the building. Felt like we were intentional with what we did in the offseason, bringing guys together from every background and every different experience. And in minicamp, I felt like it was more important to spend that time getting to know each other and trying to build that before we went out and tried to run plays.
Ohio's fingerprints, of course, all over Mike. Standout at Walsh Jesuit, then a standout at Ohio State. Playing career, and then back to the state here at Ohio State, of course, first, and then shadowed last year in Cleveland. Here is Vrabel on how the previous coaching stops helped him get to where he is.
From all my different stops, and there's a lot of stops, and everybody has a journey to this league, and my journey has included a lot of different places. And again, I've always said this, that thankful for to get my start in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, with Bill Cowher, the Rudy family, to be able to come to New England to be a player here with Bill and Mr. Kraft, and even the time I spent in Kansas City, then the opportunities to coach at Ohio State. So you try to learn and try to pay attention and focus and learn each stop along the way. But then again, you have to make it your own style. So there's things each and every week that I'll draw on. They'll draw on things that we did in Tennessee that we liked or that I thought maybe resonated with the players. So constantly trying to draw on things to help us.
I was in awe of him last year in Cleveland. He just attacked it. I mean, he was basically just learning. And the reason he was there was to, and it, you know, obviously the way it all shook out, it's ironic, but the reason he was there was to see how a front office and coaching staff rode in the same direction. And he did all of it. He threw himself into everything. I mean, he'd show up on defensive tackle, on scout special teams. He'd help quarterbacks, tight ends, anything. Like, he just jumped in on anything. And he was just such a force of culture. This is not at all surprising to me. And I knew that when he got the second chance, he'd be very smart to make sure he had the quarterback lined up, and Drake May was that. So he's got a chance to track down a little bit of history. Jackson Smith and Jigba as well. It's offensive player of the year in the NFL, and just a stunning season for him. He was asked about putting this all into perspective. He said he's always envisioned it.
Talking to my brother today, you know, I envisioned this, you know, for a very, very long time. So it feels like I kind of been here before, but it's just awesome living out the dream.
Do you guys have a rooting interest?
I've flip-flopped over the past couple of days, actually, because I don't want to see the Patriots win another Super Bowl. But I'd be okay if I saw Mike Vrabel winning that thing, and Travion Henderson in his first season. But then I go back to Jackson Smith and Jigba, and I want him to have a Super Bowl. I want him to have that Super Bowl experience as well. And I think it'd be hilarious for Sam Darnold to beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
It would be, yeah.
Like, one of the all-time things, you know, what you following his career all over the country, and now that he's the most improbable person in the most improbable place, I think, since Foles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think I have a rooting interest here, because I would be super happy to see Mike Vrabel win one, but I'm enthralled with what Jackson Smith and Jigba has done this year and how good he has become. And so if he won one, I wouldn't be mad about that either.
I think I'll wait. I'll know when I'm watching is usually how I play this out. Like, you'll get a feel for it as you're going, and you'll have a rooting interest. I've got a lot of family in Seattle, so it'd be hard to kind of go against that. But at the same time, I love Mike, and it's just so crazy to think of the Patriots winning a seventh Super Bowl. It's just a crazy thing to think that they're, you know, all in the last 25 years. It's just such an incredible run of dominance and a sport where it shouldn't happen.
And when I think of the Patriots, they're in like a handful, right, of the best organizations in football. I think of them. I think of the Steelers. I think of the Eagles. I think of the Chiefs. I throw them in there as well. But if the Patriots do this now with a whole different regime, they like did it twice in the Belichick era. And then if they do it again right after with a whole nother regime, I feel like that has to put them at the top of the NFL.
I think the only thing that's lacking for them is just history, because they were largely irrelevant they played for the Super Bowl in 85 against the Bears, but they were largely an irrelevant franchise until Kraft buys them. But they played for one in 90, they played in 85, they played in 96, and now they've won all of these. They've played in a bunch of them. Yeah, I mean, they would be it. I mean, they would be right there historically with like the Steelers and the 49ers and the Cowboys. I mean, they've surpassed those teams in terms of overall excellence now, even though they're a relatively young franchise in comparison. I saw a story just now in the last 10 minutes of another player with NBA experience trying to get back into college at Grand Canyon. A buddy of mine gave me an idea. I'm going to run it by you guys on how we can maybe fix all of this coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. John.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Strike. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. Direct Relief delivers. No politics, no red tape. Direct Relief is a lifeline to people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org. And if you can, donate.
Do you suffer?
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. How serious is youth vaping?
Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hello.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Snow is likely in the early afternoon, becoming a little bit more scattered throughout the day. Temperatures right around the freezing mark and breezy winds will be possible. Could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches as we go into tonight. The gusty winds will bring our feels like down below zero, so it will be a very frigid Saturday. Feels like we'll still be below zero throughout the day with gusty winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
It's Friday and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 80 years. I know we're going to get to this story at greater length in Thing or Not a Thing, but you're probably aware of the Charles Bediako story. He is the Alabama center who was an NBA G Leaguer who was playing at Alabama, and there's a lot of issues that people have with that, and they're in some court proceedings there. This just popped up here in the last 12 hours or so. I just saw it on my timeline now. Former UCLA and NBA player Amari Bailey has set up an official recruiting visit to Grand Canyon University. His first official visit, the school aggressively pitched him on their vision, plans to host him Wednesday for their game against New Mexico. So, which that just, how crazy, like Grand Canyon somehow is now worried about attracting former NBA players for God knows what they're going to do and whatever they're going to compensate him for. This is something that college basketball is really under a microscope for, and it sucks because this is actually, truly, I've watched more college basketball in the last 2 weeks than I have really any other sport. It has been that, as it's, there's just been so much great basketball out there, and it's been fun to watch all of it. I was at youth sports this week a couple of times, the best I could, kind of kept a low profile and kept to myself, but a buddy of mine, the great Nick Abernathy, with a came up to me and goes, I got an idea for you. And I said, okay. And he goes, get rid of all the rules. And I said, well, I'm thinking to myself, well, there aren't really many rules that are admissible right now, but get rid of all the rules and just go with the 23-year age requirement. So if you're not 23, his idea was, if you're not 23, by the time a season starts, you're ineligible. I thought, okay, that might have some teeth to it. Now, I don't know if that would help in this, but when you have the Trinidad Chambliss stuff where he's looking for a sixth year, Pavia looking for a 12th year, all these guys wanting more and more and more, what if college athletics was just something for 18 to 23-year-olds, much like high school sports? Like you can't, you as a 22-year-old, can't go, there's NIL in Ohio, you can't have a 22-year-old who didn't play high school basketball, you know, go play at fill-in-the-blank private school and go make money on NIL because of the age requirements. Restrictions. Would that solve some of this?
Probably. I had made the realization that you don't have to be 25 to rent a car anymore. Like Hertz will give them to 20-year-olds.
Oh.
And I had made the joke to Joshua, if you can rent a car, you can no longer play college athletics. But obviously that doesn't work anymore. And I don't know if the age thing, if that would just invite more lawsuits. You know, we love legal billable hours. Love that mm-hmm. here. Because I think with all of these things that you want to see happen in college athletics, I think it needs to just be on the coaches, not to establish hard rules or explicit rules, because those open you up to lawsuits, but for the coaches to get together, for the Tom Izzos of the world, for the Nate Oates even, and say, we're not going to go into business with people over a certain age. And again, you can't do it explicitly because you'll get sued for discrimination.
Why would you, Reese? I mean, I'm just workshopping it. I'm not even a bird lawyer, but I'm just curious, like, why there are all sorts of things that have restrictions on age. Like you can't, what's the high school restriction right now? You can't turn 19 at some point in your senior year.
For some reason I wanted to think it was 20 at one point, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's changed or how that
like
is.
Like the NFL has a hard and fast rule that like you are not eligible for the National Football League unless you are 3 years removed from high school graduation.
Which, by the way, that's going to be challenged sometime soon, right?
Maurice,
with all these lawsuits, challenged. It has to be. Yeah, but it was a different time then. Now there's so many things. Somebody's going to be challenging that sometime soon.
The only pushback I would have for that, Bake, is I don't know if there's a reason to challenge it anymore because the type of players who would challenge it are players like Jeremiah Smith, mm-hmm. and he's making $6.5 million or whatever playing here. So there isn't, like, what's the hardship?
Yeah. Bo, I think your age thing here is, I think it's got a good, it's got a little bit of teeth here.
Well, it's not mine. I stole it, but thanks.
And it could be, but that's just not fair, Bo, because I want to play college. I want to play basketball and yeah. I'm 24 and I'm not good enough to play in the NBA. So where am I going to play? I want to play college. I want to play basketball. So that's not fair. I deserve to play basketball.
Yeah. Life's not fair. I know you're being tongue in cheek, but I think the other thing is because the money now is so great in college that there isn't, you don't have to go play, you know, that European basketball model, you don't have to do that anymore. You can make that money here. And then oftentimes you can make more. And yes, it's pretty glamorous. Like top level European basketball is pretty glamorous. We know a lot of great people who thrived in that. Scoonie Penn had an incredible career overseas. John Diebler had an incredible career overseas. Jared Sullinger has made a ton of money and thrived in China playing basketball over the last decade. Like those things can be done, but there's also the guys who end up playing in South America or end up playing in the Caribbean and on these other, you know, crazy leagues that are out there. And now you don't have to because they're finding this loophole to go into college. And it's just our own greed in it. We can't help ourselves. I mean, like, what is Grand Canyon going to gain by playing an NBA player? What's the gain for that program, that university? What's the get?
Bo, I think it should be as simple as if you have signed a pro contract and you have played a pro game, and I think the G League is pro, and I don't know how we should view overseas because high school kids are considered pros in Europe leagues. So I don't know how we should view that, but, and my thought has changed on this a little bit because of how they're doing things with hockey, with like Caden Lidstrom and Jackson Smith. They've been drafted by the Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jackets own their rights, but they have not signed contracts with the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
So they can go play in college. As soon as they put pen to paper on an entry-level contract, they are no longer eligible for college hockey. So I think it should be the same way. Like, even if you get drafted, like, say after this year, the Cleveland Cavaliers draft John Mobley Jr.
Okay.
If John Mobley Jr. does not sign a contract with them, then he should be able to come back and play at Ohio State next year.
Now, do the Cavaliers hold his rights?
Yes, they should. And this may be something. This may be something these leagues have to work out with this and their collective bargaining and all of that.
That's how the baseball one used to be, right?
You had I believe with the baseball one,
you had two choices. When I was at Florida, when I covered Florida State, you had two choices, and they had kids who were drafted high in baseball. Buster Posey, Stephen Drew, mm-hmm. like they had those guys. And they had, if you're drafted out of high school, you had until a certain deadline to sign the pro contract. Otherwise, you went to college. Once you went to college, you had to stay there. I believe it used to be 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. And then you could go back into the draft at that point. So that was what they always were weighing.
Yeah, so like, I'm okay with that. If you've not signed a pro contract or if you haven't played, like if you didn't play in the G League, because the G League is a professional league. Those guys are getting paid, correct?
Sure.
So as long as you don't sign a contract, I don't care if you've been drafted or any of that, you should still be able to play. But if you have signed a pro contract immediately, you are ineligible for college athletics.
Yeah, you have to have something. You can't. this is craziness. Like people playing playing in the NBA and then coming back to college. It's absolute lunacy. And it's got to get sorted out. It's about a billion things that need to be sorted out with the NCAA at the moment. And none of it's easy, but someone's got to start doing some hard work on this. Tim May in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. It's a Friday at 10:30. We'd like to talk to our good buddy Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStream Sports. I saw you at Mr. Heartline this week. Good job out of you, buddy.
Yeah, that was me. It was Clay, man. Well, both of us, I guess. But as he said, I finally get to be on the Tim May Show because we soon after he got named, a real coach way back when, he was going to come on, but then it got nixed. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. Yeah.
It got Bo nixed. But anyway, it was cool. I mean, he settled in. You know, what a crazy December it was for him and the Ohio State football team. But, the biggest thing that stood out was when we're talking about a lot of things. He thought that was a 48-hour period there in the middle of that Indiana week, which was pretty rough. But he thought after that everything was pretty smooth, handled pretty well, et cetera. But, dude, this guy had to hire – not just recruit, but then had to hire 45, 46 guys. That's a lot of personnel dealing with when you used to be just the wide receiver coach and offensive coordinator.
It's pretty amazing how college sports, and I was just talking about this on the college basketball side. Like I love watching college basketball right now. Like the passion's unbelievable, the talent's unbelievable. Yeah. I just keep getting pulled into it night after night. And despite all of the nonsense around it, it still thrives. And there's a million problems, but we still love the competition of it.
That's what Pete Thamel, like a couple of years ago on my podcast, that's what he said. It's never been crazier off the field, and the product on the field has probably never been better. I mean, I'm talking about just football. And it is funny when we put the ball down, you blow the whistle. A lot of guys want to hit each other and score touchdowns. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And basketball the same way, man. By the way, it was funny. But I was at a wake kind of thing for a guy last night. We had for a former colleague of ours at the Columbus Dispatch, and I was talking with Porty because Porty was there, and I said, you know what? I think the Blue Jackets, the last several weeks, I mean, I'm not just talking about the streak. I just think the Blue Jackets are playing on a different level. I mean, as in from a term of competency, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool when you finally see a team kind of coalesce, you know? Now will the scab come off and it all come apart during the during the Olympic break is going to be interesting, but I watched the third quarter, there I am, Tim May, third period against Chicago, and Chicago, it just shows you how things can come and go for franchises, right? And but they just looked so matter of fact about they were winning that game, and it was like, I just go, that's pretty sweet. You know, you haven't always gotten that when you've watched the Blue Jackets, that's for sure.
No, and it's like only their puck luck that now they're staring at a franchise that's had nothing but bad puck luck in its history now has a 3-week wait to play again.
Correct.
Which sucks because, the city is dying for it. I mean, it's just waiting for it, and you can see it, and there'll be a bandwagon that'll jump on. The water's going to be warm, and it's going to be spectacular. I wanted to ask you about this, a little bit off topic, but you're a longtime newspaper man. When you see like what happened to the Washington Post sports department and the fact that where does that sit with you?
Well, it sits poorly in the sense of, so many guys, so many people, so many good journalists, not just competent, but really good journalists, suddenly don't have a job. Then it sits poorly with you. Cause the entity that owns the Post, like you said, I mean, if, he could sell his yacht and pay for it for the, you know, for the next 20 years, you know, the Washington Post.
Right.
But you know what? It's a business and it's not a charity, I guess. And, you know, if, it makes your heart ache for the people involved. And yet it just further bugs you about how newspapers just can't quite make it. I mean, I used to joke at the Dispatch that, you know, people would show up with a basket full of money on a Friday, hoping to get a classified ad somewhere in the Dispatch or a spot ad somewhere in the Dispatch. And, you know, basically this is back in the heyday, you know, 70s and 80s. And they say, oh, I'm sorry, we're full. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it, you know, it flipped on a dime. I mean, losing classified advertising was about as big a blow as you could strike somewhere because they made so much money. I'm talking about all newspapers and stuff.
Sure.
So, it makes you, but you know, it's not a charity either. Right. And, so I don't know where to put it. Cause you want newspapers to be independent, not, necessarily relying on anybody. But then when you look back at the history of newspapers, they started, way back when, you know, Ben Franklin and all those guys started as advocacy, advocacy handouts and stuff. And so I just think all of media is in flux, but there's never been more media when you look around. I mean, you know, we've got our fanstringsports.com thing. You know, I try to do a competent podcast three times a week. You know what I mean? There are so many places you can get information now that didn't have to do with the newspaper. But when I was growing up, newspaper guys were legends. And and that's funny because I was with a bunch of them last night. You know, my buddies Bob Baptist, Bob Hunter, you know, Ray Stein was our sports editor there near the end. I mean, all these guys we worked with, Scott Davis, the guy who's passing, we were mourning, you know, his four boys were at this thing. And we were talking about the good old days, which were only like 10, 15, 20 years ago.
And, well, it happened so fast, Tim.
Yeah, I know. Well, but boy, when the tap turns off and you can get something done for cheaper or even free based on what you used to pay for, people always matriculate to the easiest path down the mountain. And that's what has happened. But it's just too bad because that day-to-day, this is something that really you really kind of piqued me here, if you don't mind me saying.
No,
this.
Please. That's
like you go to press conferences, and you got all this media sitting there, you know, radio, TV, and newspaper guys. But it's more often than not, it's the newspaper guys that ask the hard questions. You know what I mean? And you know, post game press conferences. You're watching, like I'm watching the Chicago Blackhawks show, and I was watching their post game after the Blue Jacket game. And boy, you know, it's usually the newspaper guys, you know, not all the time. I mean, I think Adam and Dom and all those guys, even Clay, sure, my buddy Clay, you know, ask hard questions and stuff, but it's the newspaper beat guys that are there all the time, that used to be there all the time, that made the difference. I mean, I used to be at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and even before that, the Biggs facility, I'd be there every afternoon after football practice, because then you could hang out, you could go to practice and things like that. And you know, that's newspaper guys more often than not doing that stuff. So it's just that fine sanding, I guess, is what I would call it, from beat coverage that's got to be missing here maybe in 15 or 20 years. But there are a lot of all these young guys on these .coms, I mean, I still call them .coms because that was a euphemism long ago.
Sure.
A lot of them do hellacious jobs on the Ohio State beat and stuff. So things, they have changed, but you still have to, you just kind of roll with the punches. But I don't know. My wife used to love to get the Dispatch every morning and read it at our kitchen counter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, of course.
It's a lot different doing it on your phone or on a tablet than having the paper just laid out there in front of you.
Yeah, I still pick it up. If I'm out, I pick it up and I just want my kids to see me doing it, you know, that I'm not getting it from a screen, you know.
But the plain dealer, does it get printed only 3 days a week or something?
Well, I mean, like whatever you pick, like I'll pick up the New York Times. I used to pick up the Washington Post. Yeah. I pick up the still get the Wall Street Journal delivered. Like obviously I have the apps, but I get it delivered. Like, I want the you know, the physical. I want to be able to touch it and have the physical. Well, there's something to that.
Here's what bugs about the Washington Post. I think they had an 800 person, roughly, newsroom, and they cut, what, 200 or 300 jobs. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of going, that's a lot of people. But, you know, that's a lot of people covering stuff, you know, in one form or fashion, either being editors, fact checkers to the actual people, you know, like, you know, Bob Woodward and the old Watergate days of actually going out doing investigative journalism. But that's a lot. My point is, that's a lot of layers of people making sure that what you're reading and or hearing on their podcast is accurate. You know what I mean? That's
fact.
What I think. Yeah. That's what exactly. That's what I think really falls through the cracks now. And the other thing is just that those cuts, I guess they were rumored there were some coming, but the severity of it is crazy. You know, it's like Aaron Portsline, you know, works for The Athletic, but The Athletic is basically the New York Times' sports department now. You know what I mean? That's what's crazy. And that's good. I mean, those are good guys. You know, 99% of them are great people. So, I don't know. I think the ball keeps rolling, but just it's a different ball.
Yeah, it really is. For the kids out there who want to, you know, you think about, like, you want to watch, like, films about investigative journalism and what it meant, watch A Few Good, All the President's Men, watch Spotlight. Like, I worry about, does that stuff still get done, you know?
Well, you know, but, you know, you've got guys that are out there doing it almost on their own, but still trying to make a living doing it. And, but then, like you're saying, it's not just that the story was done, but it was the reliance or the credibility of the entity that was doing the investigations that added beef to it. It added kick to it, you know, cause you can have a little independent newspaper and if all of a sudden you uncover, government corruption, then is anybody going to take you seriously? That's maybe the toughest part. Like the guy investigating those things up there, the independent journalist up in Minnesota was sure with his name, Nick Shirley or whatever his name was. I mean, he got video evidence now, you know, and people, but come to find out there's some credibility to what he was doing, big time credibility. And now people are paying attention to it. So, it was a lot of times if you're messing somebody over, it's going to get found out. And it's going to be revealed. It just may not be as quickly or with the old saying goes, well, newspapers are really the sheriff's department of journalism. You know, they were the ones that go out and do the boots on the ground investigation stuff. So, but, you know, if you're messing somebody over, if you're out there listening to this show, if you're out there messing somebody over, it's going to be found out, folks.
It's good talking to you, buddy.
I'm not sure we covered anything except...
enjoyed the hell out of
it. What an interesting time live. And by the way, I do like the Patriots, in case you wanted to ask me that. I see charmed live. I love the Sam Darnold story. You know, we talked with Brian Hartline about, Jackson Smith and Jigba and that whole story. Boy, when he started reeling off the names of the fellas who've come through that room, you know, the last 10 years... you know, Zach Smith got it started and Brian Erline kept it rolling. But it's crazy, Bo, what we've been treated to here.
It is, yeah. Good talking to you, buddy. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll do it next week.
Always a pleasure. See you, brother.
There he goes. Tim May joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 82-62, Ohio State with a victory at Maryland tonight. Congratulations on the win, Jake. Let's begin by asking how you felt about your defense tonight.
I thought it was better. You know, I thought it was that's a team that is elite at rebounding offensively, and they went bigger this game to really attack the glass. I liked our toughness. I thought defensively our communication was improved, and we saw some growth on that side of the ball here really these last few days of practice that it carried over tonight.
Coach, when you talk about that toughness, is that answering teams' runs, especially when you're on the road?
Yeah, it was big. I mean, they went on, I think, a 5-6-6-0 run, maybe 7, and we responded. Every time they went on a run, we responded.
That was a critical component of the game, kind of the game within the game. We won every 4 minute segment but one tonight, which was really impressive.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Listening to the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
82-62 the final. The Buckeyes defeat Maryland. Jake, how about the play you got tonight from Christoph Tilley?
I tell you what, he played a really poised game. I thought his defense, his activity defensively was really good. He was able to anchor us offensively. With when they were shifting defenses and things, our guys really did a great job embracing. You know, we talked about this need to be a high assist game, and we had four guys with at least three assists. So really, really proud of the way we played on that side.
Jake, if you would, just talk about the high value that comes with winning a game on the road.
Well, it's huge. You got to find a way to win some in this league, and anything can happen on any given night. And, you know, we answered the bell as far as stepping up, being tough enough on the road, and thought our guys did a great job.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag Buckeyes Care.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Steve here from
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Everyone needs to take care of their mental health, even running back Bijan Robinson.
When I'm on the field and feeling the pressure, I usually just take a deep breath. When I'm just breathing and seeing what's in front of me, everything just slows down. It just makes me feel great before I run the play.
Just like Bijan, we all need a strong mental game on and off the field. Make a game plan for your mental health at loveyourmindplaybook.org.
Love your mind.
Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Foundation, the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, we had mentioned Alabama center Charles Bediako in the last segment where before Tim May, we spoke about G Leaguers and guys that have played professionally looking to return to the college ranks. Bediako is scheduled for a court hearing Friday where a judge will determine whether the NCAA may enforce its eligibility rules against him ahead of what could be a groundbreaking determination in court. Greg Sankey signed an affidavit asking the judge to deny Bediako additional eligibility. Speaking with the Field of 68, Alabama men's basketball coach Nate Oates defended the decision to acquire the former NBA G Leaguer.
Anybody that thinks this thing through logically, to see all the former European pros that are now playing and all the former, really not even former, current, there's a bunch of current NBA free agents playing in college basketball right now. So to me, you go through everything else, it made sense for Charles. It was what's best for him, it was what's best for our program. I mean, do what's best for the kid every time, what's best for our program. I didn't think it would be as big a deal because we've already had all, I mean, any coach with a European pro on their team is pretty hypocritical when they're talking about Charles, to be honest with you. So I thought most guys that could think through this thing logically were really, there's really not a big difference. I mean, we've already had G League. We have James Nagy's rights are owned by the New York Knicks, and he's been drafted in the same draft. And I mean, there's other guys too. Like, we just played a kid tonight. Rashawn Agee is only playing because he went to a court in Texas on it. The kid's 25 years old, graduated high school in 2019. It's in his seventh year of college, and he went to a court.
For what it's worth, they press him a little bit more on that kind of word salad that he spewed. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you've got to have some rules. We've got to come up with some rules without any, you know, explanation for who should enforce them. Thing or not a thing.
Look, I hate everything he said, but he's right. He's right. If you're going to allow European professional players to play college basketball, then what's the difference from allowing NBA professional players or G Leaguers to play college basketball? So once you open that floodgates and you say, if you're a pro, you have eligibility here, and you allow that for Europeans and you have to allow it for G Leaguers or former NBAers, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke that this is what's happened here. It is shameful that the NCAA has done what it's done here. And people like Sankey and Oates and all the rest of them are all complicit in it. Everybody is who's been involved in this that let it get to this point. It's an absolute joke that this is where college athletics are. But at the same time, I can't disagree with anything Oates says. It's a very reasoned take of the current situation. You have to apply the same rules to everybody.
Bo, I mentioned earlier in this program that I'm not sure how you deal with the European side of things because so many of those kids in high school are pros, like Matthew Grujicic, who was playing pro basketball since he was 15 and then comes over there. So I don't know how, like, you handle that compared to a high school kid that's making NIL money on his name, image, and likeness. I don't know what the answer to that is. Maybe it is just as blanket statement as if you play pro, you cannot come over and play college basketball. Maybe that's what needs to be done. Nate Oates admits in this thing he's wrong. Because yes. He said there needs to be rules, but we're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. Well, no, you're doing it because you want to win games. And I will stand by this statement. I don't care. Like, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Don't do it. And if Ohio State would do something like this, I would hate it. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want them getting ahead like that. I wouldn't want them winning like that. And maybe that's going to cost you. Maybe you're not going to be keeping up with the Joneses, and you're just going to have to deal with losing. But I just don't think pro players should be playing in college basketball.
No, of course not. But they all have to be treated the same, and that's the problem.
Not sure how we're going to transition here, but we'll try to do our best. The Winter Olympics has long been a battleground for marginal gains. Thursday took things to a new level in Milan Cortina. Ski jumpers allegedly injected their penises with hyaluronic acid in order to fly a little bit further. There's some science behind the allegations. Injecting the member with acid would increase the size and give the ski jumpers bigger, you know, at the point their suits are measured by 3D scanners. Temporarily enhanced measurements, because of the enhancements, would theoretically mean athletes are given a bigger and looser suit, kind of like a sail catching a wind, which could allow them to make longer jumps. Frontiers, the scientific journal, published a report last October said that a 2-centimeter change in a suit represented an extra 5.8 meters in the length of a jump. Thing or not a thing?
I made this joke this morning and I'll just repeat it. I give this about 5 hours before this is green light by the FDA and sold directly to consumer in the United States. Just going to show up, little syringe. Scoop up 2 centimeters,
like,
boys.
Inject it there?
Sure.
Wow. This might be my favorite story we have ever had on this show in our year and a month together.
It's nuts.
If you see a package being delivered to my house later, just look the other way.
It's package free or package?
Mind your business.
Mind your business.
I'll tell you what.
To do with you.
I will tell you what. If 21-year-old Bake knew about this.
Oh, baby.
Baker shows up with bigger khaki shorts. Someone would be like, hey, what'd you do over the weekend?
Jeez.
No, that's not a cup.
All that drag. You need all that drag. That's where it's all at, apparently.
This is the best story ever.
It's unbelievable. Like, what the... crazy. Who thought of it?
How does 2 centimeters equal 5.8 meters?
I don't know. I don't know. Science.
I guess size does matter.
It does. It certainly does. What we learned this week, final hour of the week, coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Men, it's the new...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. In his first season as the head coach of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel's got New England in the Super Bowl for the first time since 2019. Vrabel earned NFL Coach of the Year honors last night as the Patriots prepare to face the Seahawks in Super Bowl 60 Sunday at Levi's Stadium. We'll have the Super Bowl on The Fan with coverage after Ohio State men's basketball. Jake Diebler's squad hosts number 2 Michigan Sunday at 1 o'clock. Buckeyes are 15-7 overall, 7-5 in conference play, thanks to an 82-62 win at Maryland on Thursday. The 9th-ranked Ohio State women's squad got a road win last night as well. Jelani Cambridge scored 26 in their win at Washington. That improves OSU to 21-3 overall. Buckeyes wrap their road trip Sunday at Oregon. And in the NBA, the Cavaliers play the Kings tomorrow night in Sacramento. Reports say James Harden could make his Cleveland debut tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
You guys reposted this like 15 minutes ago.
What would it take?
Who's the audience for this? Honest to God, what? So there is the Big Ten. This is Big Ten football puts out. It's a T-shirt. Says the championship trifecta. Get the shirt and let them know, is what it says. The championship trifecta. Then it says big trifecta. And it's got the Michigan logo, the Ohio State logo, and the Indiana logo. Honest to goodness. Like, what is your best guess on how many of these they sell?
I bet they sell a lot. Because people want to stick it. Not here.
Where?
Probably not in Ann Arbor, but there are people that just hate the SEC and want to stick it to them. And
like Bloomington?
Probably.
Like, if you're in Indiana, would you wear this? Just because, like, you're associated now? No one in Ohio is wearing this. No one in Michigan is wearing this.
I'm trying to think, because...
like, who's the target?
I don't know.
Who greenlit this?
Not even in, like, just what I do it as an agent of chaos, because it has the Michigan logo on it. Like, I'm not putting that on my body.
Should we as a show...
like, that's a shame shirt.
No.
Should we as a show...
it's $34.99 for the T-shirt, by the way.
Hold on. Should we as a show buy one and send it to our friend Mr. Feinbaum?
Okay, so that's how it'll get bought. You've done it.
Thank you for joining us every week.
You've done it. That's it. You buy it for somebody in the SEC and then they burn it. So it's a $35 donation to the Big Ten.
I don't want to give Petiti more money.
I don't either.
I think we could write that off, right? Show expense?
I don't know. Talk to Fish.
Good luck with that, right?
Talk to Fish. Number 7 program director in the country for Fish.
So does he get a raise, and then do we all get raises?
I think we got really shortchanged across the board here.
Top 10 finishes for everybody.
I mean, but we got to get in the top fives across the board, right? I mean, what type of ratings Mike and Timmy got to get back in the top five? They got to get a 30 share? What's it take to get in there? Unbelievable at eight. Always appreciate the Barrett folks, though.
By the way, we haven't talked about that with you. Good job out of you.
Well, we've been hovering around there. I mean, you know, I had a No Fear. You remember the No Fear t-shirts?
Oh, yeah.
When we were kids? Those and Big Johnson. Those were really big when I was in high school. Those were the two shirts that you had to have. And before my senior year basketball tournament, we all got No Fear shirts that said second place is the first loser in the district tournament. And we wore it for to like warm up in. And we proceeded to get our brains beat in the semifinal game. And so we ended up third, which is, I guess, second loser. So they were not exactly apropos. It's great to be honored and it's cool. But I mean, we aspire here, boys. We got to keep tracking it down, get a little higher on this thing. So we'll see. All right. What did we learn this week, boys? Hit it.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Well, I think what I learned is I'm quite vulnerable to illness. And then when you put yourself around 18 little Petri dishes, you know, more than that, 8-10 hours a week as I do, that you are going to incur the wrath of their illnesses. And for the first time in a long time, I got hit. I've been hit by like this in a long, long time. Can't even remember it. Last time I got smoked like this. It feels good to at least be relatively coherent and able to do the gig today. So hopefully it was passable as we sit here with a little less than an hour to go, that we were able to get through it. But didn't see it coming. Probably should have. Most of my protocols were in place, but in this instance, the protocols overtook me. From a sports thing, I think the James Harden thing was the most, and we don't do Cavs a lot around here, you know, when they cross over, and certainly when they had the LeBron, it was a little different. But I just thought it was just pretty wild for, if you were to tell me like 3 years ago that one of those four guys was going to be gone, I would have thought Darius Garland would have been probably second last. I just thought that he was going to be kind of the face of that franchise, and then the idea that somehow James Harden is a Cleveland Cavalier is a very different. He's honestly one of my worst watches. I can't stand watching him play basketball. I hate it. So my kids love the Cavs, so we'll watch. But that was a crazy turn of events with him this week.
Yeah, Chris Haynes says he's making his debut for the Cavs. James Harden is tomorrow night. They're playing the Sacramento Kings at 10 o'clock. I might try to stay up for the first 5 minutes just to see the vibes. Man, the idea that it's gotten for Cleveland, I think, bad enough to where it's just desperate. Because you can't rely on Darius Garland to stay healthy. So you got to go out and get the all-time, I think, in the top five malcontent in terms of talent, and in five seasons, he's been on five different teams. And so now this is the desperate attempt to try to make it past the Eastern Conference semifinals. We also learned that Giannis did not want to trade.
That was so weird too, wasn't it? Like, he kind of seemed like he soft-pedaled it.
Yep.
Like, didn't want to be like the ultimate bad guy and say, trade me. But kind of, I don't know, that whole thing was weird to me.
Because he was supposed to be the biggest fish on the move.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the case. So it was kind of a blah deadline for the most part.
I mean, there was a lot of guys moved. I think the other thing that's pretty crazy is, if you think about Harden, Durant, Westbrook, all in OKC at the same time, like, how many combined teams have those guys played for? 20?
Now, probably all of them.
Do you think you could even name all the teams they've all played for? There's no way I could. I don't even want to do the exercise. It would be an exercise in futility, but you might be right. Every NBA team, those three guys maybe have played for every NBA team except like the Hornets.
Yeah, it'd be easier to do the teams they hadn't played for, like Hornets, Timberwolves, Hornets, Celtics. Yeah, there's handfuls.
Just crazy. Those guys, like, they were all three so uber talented, all three on the exact same team.
Yeah.
And then just look where it's gone with all of them.
All over the place, man.
We learned. Yeah. I think in the National Hockey League, Greg Wyshynski is going to join us at 11:30.
That'll be fun.
That the Blue Jackets are the best team in hockey. At least the hottest team, right?
Right now, they might be.
Fair to say. When are they going to lose again?
Well, not until at least the 26th of February.
You got 3 weeks. Can't lose if you don't play.
Won't lose till then.
And how about that, jumping right back into it? The two teams that you are directly 4 points behind in not only the wild card, but the Metro back-to-back in the Bruins and the Islanders. So no wading back into this thing. You're boom, right into the fire.
It's pretty wild that, you know, this stretch that they're on, they're, you know, won 9 of 10, 7 in a row. And now they're within 4 of 3rd in the Metro.
I also had an unfortunate thing learned this week.
Yeah.
Paul Feinbaum was on with us yesterday, and it won't be confirmed until probably later this year, maybe even next year, but Ohio State's not playing Alabama in 27 and 28. And there have been, at least that's what I will.
Wait,
right
what?
Now, I am 95% confident those games will not happen based off of comments this week.
What
Paul
did he
Feinbaum.
Say? I missed it. I was asleep.
He said just from people he's talked to in the know down there and sources that those games will not be played. He said he thinks the Georgia games will with Ohio State, but he does not think the Alabama games are going to be played.
And
that
this
sucks.
The question, so I posed the question to Paul a couple of weeks ago. Austin Ward was on, and you can ask Austin this on Monday, but he was on with Beamer, and they talked about the idea that the big non-conference games with the SEC going to 9 in their conference is going to start to shy away from those, despite what even Chris Del Conte said yesterday, Texas Athletic Director, is most of those schools in the Southeastern Conference have no interest in doing these before they get into their conference slate, and that's such a bummer.
I don't blame them. I hate it. I mean, I truly hate it. The Big Ten is too big. They need to cut 4 teams. I could tell you which 4 to cut. Either that or they need to add a couple of more and have West and East and have it a little bit more balanced. But I really hate it. The product is so good, but everything that's happened around the sport, the greed of it, at some point there will be a downfall. You can just can't keep going like this forever. That sucks, man. That's like that game next year in Austin. I mean, that's one of those games. Look, I'm an old dude now. There's not many times I want to get out of my house and go to a sporting event and see it live anymore. I've done that a lot in my life. That's one I want to go to. Like, I want to go to Austin and see that. Because those big game on campus, there is nothing like it, man. There is nothing like it.
Bowen, what really sucks is just a couple years ago when we found out, oh, the college football playoff's going to expand to 12. We're going to get more of those games.
Yeah.
And then, boy, quickly, reality slapped us in the face and said, no, actually, you're not.
You're not. No. No. It sucks. Really sucks. Crazy sports week. A lot going on this week, fellas, with all of the things that happened. So, in addition to all of that, the Olympics have already started. We already have medals have been awarded, including American medals. We have the opening ceremonies tonight. And in addition to that, what is your buy-in for it? We will get to that. And then Greg Wyshynski coming up at 11:30 on the Jackets, on the Olympic hockey tournament as well. That is coming up in about 17 minutes from now. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Things people do.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Someone needs to summon it. That's how I look at that box of fries. You know what? You said you got to be 2-something to do something. Well, to eat that, you got to be 3-something to do something.
T-Bone and Tybus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
Do you have...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
and weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Snow is likely in the early afternoon, becoming a little bit more scattered throughout the day. Temperatures right around the freezing mark and breezy winds will be possible. Could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches as we go into tonight. The gusty winds will bring our feels like down below zero, so it will be a very frigid Saturday. Feels like we'll still be below zero throughout the day with gusty winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So there was so much this week. I'm sure you guys talked about this at some point, but Lindsey Vonn currently does not have a functioning ACL. She competes in a sport that, from my, again, not even a bird doctor, from my judgment, would be ACL pretty dependent. Feels like that's what an ACL is for. Has no ACL, not functioning ACL, and she did a downhill practice run?
Yeah, this morning.
Going 70 miles an hour.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
And there. Some of the other women that were also skiing, like before or after her, had suffered catastrophic injuries similar in recent years. Like it felt like watching that, the broadcasters on Peacock, every other skier was like, so-and-so is recovering or coming back from an injury. So-and-so is coming back from an injury. And it's like, because it is just, it's such a violent sport.
Also, she's 41.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I think everybody else she's skiing against is probably in their mid to late 20s.
Sure.
Maybe early 30s. She's 41.
So her first Olympics was what? Like, was it 08 or 04? Something like that? I mean, she's won gold. She's one of the greatest ski racers of all time. But the last two Olympics, she's been on the broadcast. And now she's trying to compete without an ACL. I do love the Winter Olympics. I love both of the. I think all the Olympics are pretty great, but I do love the skiing. There is something. I grew up skiing. My kids ski now. There is something about seeing people do that fast. That something that I've done, certainly not within a 1/1,000,000,000th of that level, but to see people go that fast on a piece of boards and get down the hill. I've always just been pulled to it. I remember Alberto Tomba years ago in the slalom, or Pierman Zurbriggen once in 88. Alberto Tomba had himself a run, dude. He had Katarina Witt.
So good.
Pulled her at the Olympics. That dude, come on, man. As a kid growing up, and I don't know, I'm very curious to see if my kids take to it tonight when it's on, and if as we're watching throughout the next couple of weeks, because for me as a kid, it was appointment television in my house. We didn't even have cable when I was a kid. So you had the three channels, and the Olympics were something that we would have dinner as a family and we would sit down and watch the Olympics. And in those days, there was no internet. Hard to believe, kids, but there wasn't. And so the only way things would get you'd get beat on things, or the only way you'd hear about results, is if you listen to the sports updates on the local radio in our area. If you didn't listen to those sports updates, then you'd have no idea. The Olympics could be happening in Seoul, as they did, and you had no idea that it had happened 12 hours earlier. There was no point of reference. Albertville, all these places from across the pond, you had no idea. We have absolutely no idea what happened. And so you watched it all just transfixed by it. And I think some of that's come away with the immediacy of knowing results and all of that. Can you even hide it anymore? Are you guys old enough to remember when we used to Olympic updates, even here at The Fan, when I was doing the show with AR, we would say, like, we'd give like a warning, like, here are your Olympic updates. If you don't want it, turn down the dial for 10 seconds. Like, I remember doing that, but I don't think we even do that anymore, do we?
I don't think so for this upcoming, or for this current, I'd say upcoming, the Olympics are going on, but for the 2026 Milan Cortina, no, we are not doing Olympic updates. But I remember working at radio stations that would have them at the top and bottom of each hour, that we would do this, the hosts would do the same thing, would say, hey, we've got Olympic updates for you. If you haven't watched it, just be warned, it's at these times, and they would be sponsored and they would be canned. And I always thought like that would be the coolest thing to do as a radio announcer, was to take a box over there and go can some Olympic updates.
With Peacock and USA and MSNBC and everywhere they put them now, I don't think anything is tape delayed unless they're like, yeah, we want to go back and really show something.
Well, they make the primetime stuff almost like a television show, right, Bake? Like it's like a pre-produced.
Yeah, if it's stuff that's already gone on, yeah, for sure.
Because it's all going to be, right? Nothing's live at night.
Yeah, I'm not sure with that and the time difference on that.
Reese, you run the updates around here. Will you have our guys say, give like a warning that?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the times changed.
Yeah, the 2026 Milan Cortina Olympics are underway. So-and-so's done this. America's won all of the gold because, of course, Zach Werenski scored all of the points accumulated all of the points. Elvis has given up zero goals except for that game when he plays Team USA. I think it's next Thursday.
1-0.
Yeah.
Zach
1-0
with the
game. Zach has the goal on Elvis. Perfect. Not even on Elvis. Have the Penguins goal. He was also on Team Latvia. He plays in that game. He gives up the goals to Zach.
Very cool. Yesterday, the U.S. women's team opened up their hockey run, and Joy Dunn, who's a junior on the Ohio State women's hockey team, scored the second goal in that one. I think Ohio State has 12 either current or former women's ice hockey players in this Olympics.
Jeez, that's awesome. What is your guys' relationship with the Olympics as kids?
Always being aware of the opening ceremony. I mean, sometimes I forget which Olympics it was where the ceremony was super late for some reason, but when they would have it on, you'd watch. And that would be something that the whole family would get into. And then just having it on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, like in between college basketball, if it's the Winter Olympics, mm-hmm. during the Summer Olympics, it's just on in the background.
Yeah.
And you kind of catch yourself. Like I was thinking about the biathlon the other day. It's just one of those sports on a Sunday afternoon. You're tuning into NBC. Or it was this a couple of years ago, it was the USA Network. And it was just, there it was. And these people were just skiing and then shooting and then back to skiing. And it was like, this is incredible.
So,
how did they decide that was a sport, by the way?
A lot of
those Nordic countries, man.
Bo, I like you. We didn't have cable until I was 17 or 18 in the house. Same. So, I mean, the Olympics were one of the big things you watched. I remember back then the 100-meter dash was so huge. Mm-hmm. And you had like Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson and the steroids mm-hmm. and all that. Then Michael Johnson and the 200 and the 400 mm-hmm. came around. Butch Reynolds, that was always big here as he was an Ohio State trackster. So the track and field was huge. And then when the basketball, obviously the Dream Team came around, that was all the rage. And then the Winter Olympics, I feel like everybody watched the figure skating. Yeah. My sister loved that, so we always watched that. The hockey was always fun at the Olympics, too. The skiing stuff was always big. So, yeah, I mean, it was appointment viewing back then.
The Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine that in today's media cycle?
It's crazy.
Like, that was just at the infancy of, like, 24/7 coverage. I can't even remember if that was something that, if there was internet at that point, or if there was, it was minimal. There certainly wasn't social media. There wasn't any of that. But the news would trickle out about that. And I remember them competing, but it was like, there was like all sorts of suspicion that Harding had done it, but I don't know that it was like locked in that she was behind it.
There was definitely like people she knew that was in on that.
But she competed.
Yeah. It was like, that was the 94 Olympics, I believe.
Was that 94?
Was it Sochi?
Is that how long ago that is?
Yeah, so I think that happened like in the lead up. So maybe in 93 that all happened and then they competed.
It happened at the trials, didn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. But the skiing's my favorite. I love the skiing.
But we have breaking news out of Cleveland.
Go.
Jim Schwartz has officially turned in his resignation letter and will not be the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns moving forward.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much telegraphed in Monken's press conference. That's the way that was going to go. I thought there needed to be resolution on that as quickly as possible. You just couldn't have that hanging over. I think it'll be very curious where they go there. I think they have really Coach Bonda, Coach Tarver, either one of those guys, Jacques Chizer as well. Tarv, to me, is ready for that type of gig, and I think he could be promoted. He's been a defensive coordinator before. I think that would make all the sense in the world if that's the way that Todd wants to go. He may have his own guy too, but he has said he wants to run, you know, that same defense, and you know, Jason Tarver would have an ability to do that pretty easily. Coach Bond is great too, but that would be my guess. I think the writing was on the wall there. And I said this with Nathan yesterday on Cleveland Browns Daily. I did a hit with him, and what I said to him was, like, I just feel like we need resolution on this before the weekend, because you're going to have Clint Kubiak trying to put a staff together with the Raiders. And so with that, you're going to be vying for positions, and coaches are going to want to know where their standing is. Get that thing solidified and let's go. So I get why Jim had sour grapes. I understand it. Also get why you also needed to have a decision on it. So that was expected to me. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but to me that was pretty expected.
Yeah, when he packed his stuff and said his goodbyes at the facility and left.
He did come back though.
Yeah, but that felt to me I understand coming back. You're still under contract.
Yeah, that'll be weird.
So, right. And so when he did that upon hearing the news, I thought to myself, that's not necessarily someone who's someone who's made up their mind already, to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I said before, I don't know if it was naivety or arrogance or what, but to think that you would turn him down and he's going to be like, yeah, I'll come back and be the defensive coordinator for the guy I finished second to. I always thought that was ridiculous. And
I'm sorry, Vic, I shouldn't have interrupted.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say that the probably when you interview him for the head coaching position, at that point, it makes it impossible for him to return as a lesser. Yes. At that point, that makes it very, very difficult. All right, 2 minutes from now, Greg Wyshynski, our old buddy, senior NHL writer at ESPN, will join us. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For home appraisal, after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, he's been a longtime friend of the program, one of the best in the business, and he joins on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He's Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. So, Greg, you just explained this one to me. We're the hottest team in hockey, basically don't lose since Bonus has been here. Now we got to wait 3 weeks to play again. I mean, only in Columbus, my friend.
That's right. It's like when you're killing it at the craps table and then you have to go meet a buddy for dinner. Like, come on, you know, I got a hot streak going. It's really a great story. I mean, obviously, you know, the fact that Bonus looked at this roster and saw the same thing that Don Waddell did, which is a team that should have been significantly better than it had been, I think is an endorsement of the talent on this roster. And then to come in and, you know, the thing about Bonus that I thought was a really interesting fit for this team is, and it's not to shade Dean Evason or anything like mm-hmm. that, but like, he's just got a real ability to connect with players and to kind of understand the dynamics of a locker room. And, you know, he did that in Dallas. He did that in Winnipeg. And if you kind of like read some of the things coming out about this streak, it seems like he's got a good handle on what this team needed and the sort of the interpersonal connections that needed to be established between him and some of the leadership group. And the results are there. Again, like, Evason's a good defensive coach, and I think he'll, you know, I'd like to see him get another shot down the line at some point, but it comes down to whether or not these guys are going to be on their details. And it's not like Bonus came in and revolutionized the system they were playing, but they're getting results that they simply weren't getting under the old coach, in the sense that I think in the 11 games he's been there, they're maybe the best defensive team in hockey. So, I mean, like, that's not Rick Bonus rewriting the playbook. It's him getting them on their details and understanding the right deployment and getting them to execute in a different way.
And, buddy, we have no idea how any of these teams are going to react to this or what's going to come out of the Olympic break and all of it. I mean, it's 3 weeks. It's crazy from the local perspective. I mean, I can't wait for Olympic hockey, but from the local perspective, it's crazy to think how this is all going to shake out. But just in terms of what you've seen on the ice, and I'm not saying they're going to win 9 out of 10 the rest of the way, but in terms of the way they're playing, obviously, and being a real factor in the East, do you see it?
Well, I mean, they might have to win 9 of 10 the way the rest of the East is going. I mean, my God, I've never seen a race like this before where basically outside of maybe the Devils and the Rangers, everybody else is very much in the mix. You know, I think they've established themselves as being able to play pretty good defense under him. The offensive numbers have been great, too. I mean, everything is kind of clicking. You'd like to see maybe a little bit more consistency in goal, although they've been getting, you know, decent performances while Bonus has been there. I think everyone who's watched the Blue Jackets wonders if that's going to be sustainable. But more than anything else, I mean, just win the games you got to win in the East. I think when everybody's as tightly packed as they are, you know which games are going to be vital for you to be able to maintain your position in a wild card race or maybe jump up and catch the Islanders. And those are the games, those 4-point swing games, they're going to have to be focused on when they get off the break.
Once a puck daddy, always a puck daddy. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski is our guest, courtesy of the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Greg, it's been remarkable to think, like, this time last month we were saying, well, it'll be an interesting offseason for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And now I say to myself, it'll be a really interesting trade deadline for the Blue Jackets. What do you think Don Waddell does as soon as the NHL unfreezes its rosters?
First of all, I appreciate the shout out to my old Yahoo blog. I am the same guy, just can't make the same lewd jokes I made. Disney frowns upon that. The trade deadline is going to be interesting. I mean, it's such a unique season in the sense that we have two trade deadlines, basically. We just saw one pass the other day with Panarin going from the Rangers to the Kings, Columbus's old friend, to really, you know, put an end to that drama in New York. As far as needs go, I couldn't tell you what they're looking for, but I can tell you that, you know, as we see a few of these teams in the West fade and obviously with the Devils and the Rangers fading, it's a kind of a robust center group that might be available at the trade deadline. Like if the Flames are going to eventually trade Nazem Kadri, I think Vincent Trocheck of the Rangers is definitely going to be available based on the trajectory of their retool or rebuild. Depending on Nashville and they keep rallying from like 5 goals down to win games. So who even knows, you know, you have the Ryan O'Reilly situation there. So a good collection of veteran setters, might be the marquee group available at this trade deadline. But, you know, with the cap going up and with teams no longer being pressured to make deals, to better their financial situation under the cap, it's anybody's guess how active the deadline is going to be. And then you add in the fact that you have such a parity going on in both conferences this year. It's hard to really understand what these general managers actually believe their teams are, I think is part of the equation, too.
Greg, we use the phrase on this program with the Blue Jackets a lot, chase the eight. Because they seem like a franchise that's always chased the eight, trying to get into the playoffs. This mm-hmm. probably isn't a trade deadline for this year question, but when you look at the Blue Jackets and this core that they have, what do they need to take that next step and be a team that can be a viable Stanley Cup contender?
That's a great point. And it is annoying when you think about the history of this team, the fact that it does feel like they're always trying to sneak in the second wild card or something like that. And obviously the greatest moment in franchise history probably came when they did sneak in as a second wild card and then took out one of the best regular season teams we've ever seen. You look at the DNA of a Stanley Cup champion, right? You know, you usually have two great centers, usually have a goaltender that's not going to lose you a series, and maybe that could be Greaves. But then you want to have two defensive pairings that you're comfortable putting out there for, you know, 55 of 60 minutes per game. And that's kind of the DNA of a team. Now, the Jackets have some good stuff up the middle. I think defensively, Werenski, we just put out the latest NHL Awards watch yesterday, and he's right there with Makar to maybe win the Norris this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Norris because a lot of voters like to give it to somebody who's never won before. It's kind of like one of the characterizations of that award. And Werenski obviously has been waiting for his turn. So a lot of the pieces are there. And then the question is, I think, you know, the wave of younger players, what do they actualize as, and how aggressive do the Blue Jackets want to be with some of those guys in improving their team if they believe that they can be flipped to, you know, bring in a star player in some position. So it's an interesting path forward, but the good news is that, you know, the way the roster is built right now, A, it could be of a playoff quality already, and B, there's a lot of attractive pieces if you wanted to improve it even more.
We've certainly well aware of him around here, but it feels like, you know, everybody now very aware of Zach Werenski. And I think about this stage with the Olympics and the way that he's playing going into it. It feels like there's a real moment to be seized here. What have you admired about his game, especially the way he's played the last couple of weeks, but really what he's been over the last few years?
I just think over the last few years, it's the point production, if I'm being honest. I mean, like, you know, the minutes he plays has always been pretty strong. You know, obviously, his ability to stay in the lineup, I think, has really been a differentiator between the last couple of years and his you know, most of his run in the NHL. But just like being able to hang offensively with the Makars and the Quinn Hugheses of the world is not something that should be taken for granted when you're a defenseman in this league. I mean, those are two of the best offensive defensemen we've seen come down the pike in maybe the last like 25 years, and Werenski's kind of right there with him. So he's been great. And like I said, in the awards watch, Makar's lead in the Norris. The gimmick is we ask the actual voters for their ballots. So this is like the people that will be casting their votes for the award at the end of the year tell us where their heads are right now. And Makar's lead over both Hughes and Werenski has shrunk for two consecutive months. And in this case, it's because Werenski took a huge percentage of the vote for himself. So it's trending in the right direction for him to win the Norris. And, you know, we had a couple of voters say this. I don't agree with this philosophy, but the relevancy of the Blue Jackets certainly does play into the thinking here. We had one person basically say if they make the playoffs, he should probably get it. If they don't, I might have to look elsewhere, which, again, I don't think is how the Norris should be voted on, but that's how people are thinking about it.
I'll get you out of here on this one. I can't wait for this. Is everything's good with the rink and all of that? I know that was a mess, but I can't wait to see, you know, this Olympic hockey is just so great. Kind of handicap it for us. How do you think this thing's going to play out?
The ice is good. From what I can see, all the boards are in place. I don't know if all the soda machines work. They might not have got around to that, but like the ice is good as far as I could tell. Look, here's where my head's at as an American who's been waiting my entire life to see the U.S. win gold again since 1980. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if Canada doesn't play for gold. I just think that they are so loaded at forward, and unless their goaltending implodes, and it could, I think they're going to play for gold. As an American, I expect we'll play Canada again for gold. However, there's also a part of me that wonders in like the quarterfinals, if we're down 2-1 to Slovakia or Czechia, if we start gripping our sticks, if we get a little worried, if we're like, oh my God, are we going to let gold slip away? Oh my God, are we going to embarrass ourselves in front of Canada? And I hope that the leadership and the fortitude of that team means they won't stumble before they get to play Canada again.
We're certainly due, buddy, for another miracle, I would say. Not that it's near the stakes that one was, but we certainly, it's been a long wait, my friend. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. Greg Werenski, senior NHL writer at ESPN on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Get your three things on a Friday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football Impact Report.
Recruiting for college football, and really for all sports by that matter, but in particular football, it has changed so much with all of the changes that have gone on with the NCAA rules, the transfer portal, extra eligibility, et cetera, et cetera. But for Ryan Day, as he goes through this, not only as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, but as the father of a potential recruit, he certainly knows what signing day means.
It's a great day for these guys. I mean, this is a point in their lives where it's one of those timeline moments, signing with Ohio State. And so, you know, they're finishing high school careers, and a lot of guys are going to be here in the next month. Being a dad and going through this with my son, man, I'm just happy for these families because it's a moment to, you know, be thankful You know, be thankful for not only for the people that invested in these guys, but be thankful to be in this position, to have this opportunity to be a part of something special.
This report brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Hello. I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag BuckeyesCare.
Hey everybody, it's Berm.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what's on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, who's winning Super Bowl 60? Seahawks and Patriots, your obvious options. 80% of you think Seattle's going to take down New England.
Where are you guys? It's 4.5.
Because of that reason right there, I'm going Patriots. Everybody seems to be picking Seattle. I see nobody on the New England side of things. All of the money has come on, like 70% of the money or 75% of the money has come in on Seattle, yet Vegas hasn't changed this line at all.
Same. Isn't that weird?
My bet slip would have New England plus 4.5.
Yeah, I think mine would too. When I look at the two teams, it feels like Seattle could rout them. I do think they have that in them to just rout them, but something is amiss. That line opened at 4.5. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. It opened at 4.5 and it stayed.
That's what I've seen in the last budged. 2 weeks.
Even though 70% of the money is on Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That's an attention getter, kids, right there. All right, time for three things on a Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So it's, you know, the weather is what it is, and we have so much sickness everywhere. And so I don't think we're going to do any Super Bowl, no plans for like Super Bowl parties, but we'll do one here at the house with the boys. So we'll set out. It's one of my favorite things we do. We'll set out apps for dinner. So we'll have all the apps set out. You can imagine Bootsy absolutely loves that. Beamsy's a big fan of that too. And then NBC is going to be a big, big fan of this. I'm going to do prop bets within the family for a pot. So I'm going to go and get that done. And it's one of those things, we do it every year. The kids absolutely just love it. So, going to have some fun with that. And I'm not exactly crazy about an 18 game schedule, but I do love the idea of the Super Bowl being the day before President's Day. I do think that that's pretty sweet. And then for the most of you, you could have Monday off would be nice, because it is weird to kind of have this thing on a Sunday and then everybody's got to go to work the next day. It'd be nice to have the day off the next day. So I still love it, but I think when we get to an 18 and you get it on President's Day, it's going to be pretty sweet.
So I didn't watch any of the NFL honors last night, but I have seen the clips in the hours since then. And Tiffany Haddish called him Mike Vrabel.
Really?
When presenting Coach of the Year.
It's bad.
And then Drewski, who's supposedly a comedian and an internet streamer, dropped the N-word when introducing Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Oh, geez.
For the NFL's Offensive Player of the Year, right next to Barry Sanders.
Mm.
Like, on the stage with him. And he's trying to be funny about it. It wasn't. It was embarrassing, really, all the way around.
Who is the person?
Drewski? Ask your kids know who he is.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm so sick of these guys, man.
Well, they're not going anywhere, and they should. They should all go back to Twitch.
Yeah. First thing for me, we love to give him a lot of grief. But congratulations to our guy, Tyvis Powell, who's being inducted into the Bedford High School Hall of Fame tonight. And then they're having a nice ceremony tomorrow. What a class for Bedford High School, by the way. Not only do you have Tyvis Powell being inducted, but Roger Saffold, who obviously went to Indiana and was an NFL lineman for a while, and Marquise Copeland, who was Aaron Donald's backup in the Super Bowl when they beat the Bengals just a few years ago. A well-deserved honor for Tyvis. And if there was a Hall of Fame for just people, Tyvis Powell would be first ballot.
Yeah, just don't ever let him hear you say that.
Only time.
Keep just whisper that.
That's why I got to give him so much crap.
Yeah. Number two for me, one thing that I've thoroughly enjoyed from an entertainment perspective that I did not think that I would, and was actually hesitant to dig into it, is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So I'm all caught up on it, and it's really fun. And it's kind of a reminder. Game of Thrones always had the heavy connotations to it and really heavy serious subject matter to it, and this has that as the backdrop, but I think they casted it perfectly. The episodes are shorter, they're all less than 40 minutes, and it's just kind of a fun little avenue into that world, and I think they really crushed it. I think it's much better than that dragon show that they do, and much more enjoyable. They did a good job with it, so if you're curious or been hesitant, I would recommend it. It's good.
I keep telling myself I'm going to give it a shot.
You'll like it.
So maybe that happens in the next couple of weeks. I had thought over the summer that Emmanuel Clase was just good enough to kind of weather this and still pitch in the major leagues sometime in the next couple of years. That's not going to be the case. So ESPN reported Thursday that Clase is being accused of throwing pitches or suspect pitches in at least 48 games over the last 2 years.
Woo.
Jeez. I mean,
that's a lot, man.
I mean, that's...
Like, come on.
Put Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Black Sox boys to shame, huh?
48?
My God.
So, Bo, I know it took a while, but finally on my flights to and from St. Louis this past weekend, I got the book Friday Night Lights finished up.
Yeah.
So, instead of going to episode number 5 of The Sopranos last night, I watched the movie. Friday Night Lights, finally. So sometime next week, we can get a little update on that and what I thought, because I have opinions. I have feelings on the movie.
So I'm trying to remember the chronology. I read the book first. Then I think I did the TV show. And then the movie, maybe?
Okay. So I read the book, I did the movie, now the TV show is next.
Yeah. The TV show, it's just inspiration. It doesn't follow it or even try to follow it. It's just inspiration for it. My favorite was the TV show, then the book, then the movie. Was kind of the order that I had it. Number three, I made it. I don't know how, but we made it. Hopefully we didn't say anything that the FCC was too upset about. Hopefully it was relatively coherent. It was good to be back. I was sick of sitting around. Thank you, boys, for keeping the ship upright and between the navigational beacons all week long.
Yeah, that was, and this will be my third thing now. My goal to have, when Joshua was in, who we're thrilled to have, not get us kicked off the air or lose our FCC license. So you're welcome.
Thanks, boys.
Was the quality there? Well,
of course it was. There's a standard.
Final thing for me, enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. Rothman and Ice, they're coming up next. They'll help you get primed with that. They will also have new 10 TV chief meteorologist Chris Tomer joining them at 1:18. I'm sure they will be talking about the snow and the cold.
So we can blame him?
Why not? He's the new guy.
He's the new
blame
guy.
Blame him.
There you go. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back Monday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip. And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Welcome to...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FIRST.